don't. And if you're a conviction politician, you're not going to bob and weave and squish.
Santorum said a few days ago if he finished last here, he'd quit. Now he appears to be gaining the solid backing of Christian conservatives. Bob Costantini, CNN, Des Moines.
A person wearing an Afghan National Army uniform killed two members of NATO's International Security Assistance Force in eastern Afghanistan today. That incident's under investigation. The U.S. is warning Iran disruptions in the Strait of Hormuz won't be tolerated. Iran is threatened to block the important shipping channel where millions of barrels of oil pass through every day. The 34-mile-wide channel leads in and out of the Persian Gulf between Iran and Oman. But Rand Corporation, Iran specialist Ali Zahra Nader, doubts Iran will follow through because it has the most to lose.
I don't think it really has the capability to close the strait. And also, if it does take military action in the Persian Gulf, this would hurt Iran's economy and more so than any other country's economy.
Wall Street Journal reports federal prosecutors are preparing the possible first criminal charges against staff at BP as a result of the Gulf of Mexico oil spill last year. The paper says the prosecutors are looking into whether BP employees falsified information to regulators. The Journal reports the Justice Department still could decide not to file charges. A mother who says she was humiliated by employees while breastfeeding her baby at a Target store in Texas last month prompted a nationwide nurse-in yesterday. In a show of solidarity, women around the country held nurse-ins at Target stores. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
This is a special announcement from Lumber Liquidators.
We must reduce inventory before year's end, so we're making deals on every floor in every store. That's right. If it's in stock, it's on sale if you take it home before the year ends. Plus, get extended special financing on top-name laminate flooring from just 29 cents. Pre-finished solid domestic hardwood starting at just 99 cents. Pre-finished solid exotic hardwood from only $149. So hurry to Lumber Liquidators before the year ends, because if it's in stock, it's on sale.
I'm sure you're thinking, boy, I'd like to pay less for my car insurance, but switching seems like a lot of work. All the hassle and whatnot. Well, I'm here to tell you that is simply not the case. GEICO makes it so easy to switch and start saving money straight away, without getting buried in a ton of paperwork. You know, that actually happened to me once. Literally, I was buried under my income taxes for 6 days. Haunting, really.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com. GEICO, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Despite a cost that easily could reach $200,000 for 4 years' tuition, room and board, books, interest on student loans, etc., college is worth it. That's what a study by research firm ConvergeX concludes. In fact, college grads are likely to come out financially on top over a lifetime, even if costs reach as much as $700,000 for college. That's because ConvergeX says salaries for college grads now almost double those of high school grads. 20 months after the explosion that led to the biggest offshore oil spill in U.S. history, still no criminal charges have been filed. That's about to change. Wall Street Journal reports prosecutors are preparing charges against several Houston-based engineers for BP, accusing them of making false statements and documents. Additional charges against more workers and the company itself are expected. After yesterday's big market slide on low trading volume, Wall Street futures are up. S&P, NASDAQ futures each gaining 3 points. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Mom, I can't do my math homework. I just don't get it. I'm no good at math. I hate math.
I've always considered myself a good mother, but when it came to my son Billy's math, I was at a loss. It wasn't that he didn't try, but he kept falling further behind and losing confidence. Then a friend told me about Math Made Easy DVDs. You can order any subject from arithmetic to fractions, percents to algebra, even calculus. Concepts are simplified in an entertaining way, so students enjoy learning at their own pace, in the convenience of home. It's as easy as watching TV. Best of all, it's affordable for everyone. Listen, end the frustration. Call Math Made Easy. Call now for a 30-day risk-free trial. 866-568-MATH. Now that school is in full swing, it's important for your child to keep up with the fast-moving classroom pace. With Math Made Easy, your child will always be prepared and one step ahead. Call now, 866-568-MATH. That's 866-568-6284.
As if parents don't have enough to worry about these days, there's been a growing trend of kids having their identities stolen. Fortunately, Identity Guard KidSure now makes it easy to help protect your child's identity. KidSure uses patent-pending technology to search and monitor thousands of online data sources for information related to your child. If information is found that could be potentially harmful, you'll be alerted to it quickly. Even better, KidSure costs you less than $5 a month per child when added to your Identity Guard membership. Learn more about KidSure at identityguard.com.
This is a special announcement from Lumber Liquidators.
We must reduce inventory before year's end, so we're making deals on every floor in every store. That's right. If it's in stock, it's on sale if you take it home before the year ends. Plus, get extended special financing on top-name laminate flooring from just 29 cents. Pre-finished solid domestic hardwood starting at just 99 cents. Pre-finished solid exotic hardwood from only $149. So hurry to Lumber Liquidators, Beef.
Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to First Shift. I'm Jeff Radford, and today I'm bringing you simply the best clips and most recent clips of First Shift with Tony Truffiano. Interviews, segments, thoughts, conversations that have sparked a lot of feedback. We thank you so much for listening and being part of the show, being part of our lives, and we hope you enjoy the show. From all of us to all of you, we hope you have a safe and happy holiday season. But now, on to the clips.
Let us welcome back from the American Federation of Teachers, Mr. David Hacker. David, a pleasure to have you with us today.
It's great to be back, Tony. Good morning.
Good morning to you. Gosh, where to begin? It's interesting as I, especially after we come off and we talked to you last week after the election, we know some of the school districts' millages didn't pass, and that can really be a challenge. Some of them, you know, were very hopeful, although I'm smart enough to know they didn't spend money they didn't have yet. But that does create some challenges as administrators, as we take a look at administrators that now have to kind of regroup from that. I want to use the word counseled two teachers last week that had called me late in the week that were just very distraught over their millages not passing. And, they said, well, fortunately, the principal in our building turned to the teachers and said, what can we do together to make this better? Do you see that happening more and more often? I'd like to think that that's what's happening.
Well, you know, first, a number of millages didn't, but also numerous did. Many, many communities.
86%,
right,
yeah, which
right,
is great.
86% of where there were votes. Schools are important. Our kids are our number one priority. That means schools are important. And they voted for the millage. Those that didn't, disappointing. Close to home here, the Macomb County special ed millage going down is very, very disappointing, and we have to revisit that, and we have to get that done. What you described, Tony, is what we want to achieve in every school district where we represent people, and that is a collaborative effort that lets, you know, in good times or bad times economically, let's work together, district and teachers and staff with their unions, obviously, at the school level, principal and staff through the building rep for the unions, working together to address these issues. Because, you know, we have differences with school administration, needless to say, but the overwhelming majority of the issues we're working on and trying to resolve together.
Yeah, and it's nice to see that. One of the things that we wanted to talk about today, you said were teacher certification proposed rules. Mm-hmm. And so I'll ask you to expand on that.
Well, there was a hearing last night at Wayne County Regional Education Services Agency about some proposed rules to teacher changes to teacher certification. And there is one proposed rule that I give State Superintendent Mike Flanagan a lot of credit, because he has said publicly the rule I'm going to talk about, the proposed rule, will not be in the final set of rules, because he realizes that while it was suggested and it was recommended, that it makes no sense whatsoever. So we appreciate him saying that. And with that rule, basically would say, if it was enacted, was that if a teacher is not cutting it in a school district for a certain length of time, they could totally lose their license. Not that they would be dismissed from teaching from that school district, which may make sense if they're not cutting it in that school district, but they would totally lose their teaching license and they couldn't teach anyplace else. And the problems we have with that, and why I think Superintendent Flanagan realizes that that is not the way to go, is, you know, first of all, there are many flawed evaluation systems, as much as we work to make them much better, much fairer, much more comprehensive. There are certainly many instances where people doing the evaluation aren't trained. There are certainly instances, and I hope not many, where an evaluation system is geared to try to get someone they want to get. Just because you're not a good fit for a certain school or a certain school district doesn't mean you wouldn't do well elsewhere. But it also would deter teachers from wanting to teach in districts or in schools where things are more difficult, which there's less money coming in, where there are more community issues that make it harder for the schools to succeed. Teachers would say, why do I want to go there? If things don't work out, I could lose my license. So it's really a proposed rule that, if it was a rule, would be really detrimental to the education of our children. And it's good to see that a number of people spoke against it last night. And it's good to see Superintendent Flanagan saying this will not be in the final set of rules.
Well, I guess I'd never considered that fit before. You just said the fit between the teacher and the community, or the teacher. I've never thought about that before, but certainly that makes a great deal of sense.
Well, it absolutely makes a great deal of sense. You know, the clear thing, sort of the obvious thing to say, so it sounds crazy to say it, it's a very personal thing. It's people interacting, be it at the level of principal and administration and teacher and staff adults, be it the key relationship teachers and their students. It's a personal thing. And sometimes, two good people who are doing good work and are committed, things just don't come together.
Right.
So give people another shot.
And that does make complete sense. I would have never made that connection. And I can see where, and again, you said it perfectly, two good people, and even two great people.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, you don't mesh, or the, personalities are not there, or, the priorities are different. For whatever the reason, it doesn't really matter what the reason are, but that just makes complete and utter sense. And I'd never thought of that before. So, that is really, really interesting. Tell me that this meeting that you were at, are we looking at, is this a statewide initiative to, just to revisit the rules process?
It's a statewide initiative. There was a committee set up by the Michigan Department of Education to take a look at teacher certification. And that committee came up with a series of recommendations. There are some other recommendations in there that, we commented on, and it was someone else representing AFT Michigan, not myself. But that was the key one. And the final set of rules, which will be approved by Superintendent Flanagan, are statewide rules for teacher certification.
All right. And so that will actually be, now this is something that would be, higher ed, as I'm getting my certification, going to school, the criteria I will have to meet just to get certified as a teacher?
It revises the criteria you need to meet, and the criteria that you need to continue to meet. There are very, very few professions, as you know, in this world where you have to continue at your own expense to go to school, get credits, get what we call continuing education units or college credits.
Right.
And you have to continue to renew your license, and you have to continue to study at your own cost. And I think very, very few people out there know that.
And in fact, when I had asked the question online yesterday, what makes a quality teacher? One of the people said, somebody that is eagerly looking to continue their to educate themselves. Mm-hmm. And I think eagerly was an interesting word that they used. I know a lot of teachers, as you know, David, and I think it's, that people don't understand that the challenge it is. I've never heard an educator say, I don't want to do that. I don't want to have to take that class. In fact, it's been the exact opposite. Next summer, in fact, I was in Port Huron, Lapeer, early spring last year, or late spring last year, and there was a woman talking about her continuing education unit, and she could not wait for school to get over because she couldn't wait to take this class. I mean, it's like, seriously? You can't wait for school to get over so you can go spend time in a classroom. But she sincerely was excited about that.
No one becomes a teacher because I need a job. I need to make some money so I can provide for family and other things. That isn't, people are committed and are committed to teaching and are committed to learning. I mean, I agree with the person who emailed or Facebooked in that one aspect of a quality teacher is someone not just eager to teach, but eager to learn, because that will make you a better teacher.
Well, absolutely. You know, we don't often, and it's a conversation I don't think I've ever heard on the radio, and you've never read about it in the paper, you've never seen it on TV, and that is the certification process. Mm-hmm. Nobody ever talks about that, and right. I think it's important they have this conversation right. today.
And, you know, there's another, and I like to give credit where credit is due, but I forget the name of this newspaper columnist, so if they're listening, I apologize. but there was a great column in a paper the other day that one of my coworkers showed me, real interesting, that says when a doctor says to me, you know, David, to be real healthy, I'm going to do these things, but you have to exercise and you have to eat right. And then if I don't exercise and I don't eat right, and God forbid I get real, real sick, no one blames the doctor.
Right.
For that. They say the doctor told you what you needed to do and you didn't do it. You know, that's on you. But when it comes to a teacher, a teacher could recommend to parents what they need to do, could recommend to students or tell students what they need to do as far as homework goes and extra work goes. And when that doesn't happen, the teacher gets blamed.
It's the teacher's fault. Right. You're right. Okay, we got to get to the break. David Hecker, again, my guest. Feel free to join us. 888-552-3595. When we come back, what you think makes a quality teacher? We'll certainly be asking David Hecker what he thinks makes a quality teacher. We'll take the break here on 1310 WDTW.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special best-of edition of First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back with more great clips and interviews in just a bit.
Recently on First Shift.
Just joining me now is Jerry Persaud, the Senior Vice President of Advancement at Gleaners Community Food Bank.
Probably the single biggest thing that's happening is happening at the federal level now, and that's looking at the food stamp program. In 2006, there were 26.5 million people participating in the food stamp program. Then you had the economic decrease, and in 2011, there were 44.2 million. That's a huge increase in the number of people seeking food help. And so if you cut that program by 10%, the jobs aren't there for people. What are they going to do? That will have a tremendous impact on what's going to happen at our local level.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310 WDTW.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off. The non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button right now and register. Thank you.
All of Michigan's top newsmakers talk to Tony Trupiano.
Joining us now is Debbie Stabenow.
Good morning, Tony. It's always great to be with you.
Former Michigan Congressman Mark Schauer.
It's great to be with you, Tony.
Cindy Estrada joins us.
Thank you for having me.
State Representative Harvey Santana. And you're a rock star, Bert Venero.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much. You're too kind, Tony.
And my good friend, Congressman Hanson Clark. Welcome to First Shift.
Tony, it's great being on your show.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Weekdays 6 to 9
on 1310 WDTW. First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special best of edition of First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to the clips and interviews.
Welcome back. Tony Trupiano with you. My guest again, Mr. David Hecker, president of AFT Michigan. And we've been talking about teacher certification. David had asked the question yesterday when he had sent what he would like to talk about today. And he said, would love to have calls on what people believe is a quality teacher. And we had posted it to Facebook, and I'd asked people to send me some response. And I actually got a decent response. And certainly feel free to call us now if you'd like with your ideas on what a quality teacher is, 888-552-3595. But let me ask you first, David Hecker, why you wanted to ask that question.
Well, you know, we have spoken on prior shows, Tony, about teacher evaluations. He's spoken about it a lot because it is so important. And the state passed the teacher evaluation law a few months ago, and now there is a governor's evaluation council. I probably have that name wrong. People to look at how they put together a state framework for teacher evaluation based on the law. Now, you know, we think these evaluations need to be worked on by labor and management at the local level, not mandated.
Right.
But laws are laws, and be it a state framework or be it something locally put together, we talk a lot about evaluation, but you have to evaluate people according to a standard, and we really don't talk very much about what's that standard, and that standard is what's a quality teacher. You know, I could have an effective evaluation tool, but I don't know what I'm really comparing a teacher to as far as what a teacher should be, then that evaluation tool is not going to be as effective as it can be. So we really need to up the volume of the conversation in defining what a quality teacher is, what are the aspects of a quality teacher.
Well, and again, the response that we got, and I'll share this with you and then have you comment on this. People had said a sense of humor, a willingness to do whatever it takes, whatever that means, time after school to help individual kids who need help, patience and a sense of humor, eagerly continuing to educate themselves, honesty and demanding. Someone who is willing to stand up to the administration when necessary, and last, confidence and clarity in leadership, which I thought was a really interesting one as well. What do you think of that list, David?
I think that's a fantastic list, and you know, Tony knows, but tell listeners all this is being written down.
This
is going to help us in our work. You know, when you a sense of humor, I wondered if the caller or the typer meant sense of humor because that helps engage the students, or sense of humor because with all the vicious attacks on teachers, that's one way to deal with it.
Well, one of the sense of humor comments actually came on Facebook, and what the person wrote was, I wouldn't have got through school without the teacher's sense of humor.
Right.
So that was from a student's perspective.
And that's what I think the caller or the typer meant. But I also couldn't help but thinking about, you know, how teachers have to deal with these attacks day in, day out.
Oh, yeah.
But patience, you know, absolutely. I mean, you know, it takes time for students to process, to learn, and you presented well, and some students learn differently than other students, and takes an awful lot of patience, sense of humor. Whatever it takes is what teachers do. You know, that's from endless hours to taking money out of their pocket to pay for supplies and things that the kids need that the school district doesn't provide. You know, time after school, I mean, that's just a given that teachers do. We mentioned continuing education, the need to educate themselves. They desire to do it. It's also required. You know, standing up to administration is part of what makes a good teacher, because if administration decides that something should be done that is not positive for the kids,
can I ask a
teacher
question?
Should stand up to
can
that.
I ask a question in regard to that, though? I've talked with enough teachers now to know they're a little bit afraid. David, they're a little bit afraid to stand up because tenure has changed.
You're right, tenure has changed. There is a lower standard, a lower bar that administration has to meet now, thanks to the Republican legislature, a lower bar to dismiss a teacher. It's arbitrary and capricious, which sounds like pretty strong words, but in the legal world, it is a much lower bar than reasonable and just cause, which used to be. And yeah, so I mean, it's one of the many important reasons why teachers and all employees need unions, so they have that protection to speak up. But yeah, teachers are concerned. One, it's a lower bar. But two, there are so many layoffs in teaching that, you know, to find another job someplace else is extremely
right,
difficult.
Right, and so it's an important conversation, absolutely.
These are all great, great attributes of a quality teacher. The one I just want to build on a little bit, which sort of mentioned coming out of one of the comments your listeners had, which again, I think a lot of people, you know, if people aren't teachers, they're not going to think about teaching. That's very, very understandable. I don't think about what it is to do your show. But differentiated instruction. And that is, you know, you're going to have a room nowadays of, well, we know in Detroit, 54 kids, but, you know, 30, 31, 32 kids, and they're all going to learn slightly differently. The obvious differences is some are going to learn better from hearing by hearing. Some are going to learn visually. I mean, that's true with adults, obviously. And there are many variations within that a teacher really has to be able to be flexible and figure out how a student learns and use that method.
Before we get to the phones, let me ask you a question. I don't know if you can stay a little later today.
Yes, I can.
Good, because we're going to give to the break, and I know we're not done with this conversation. Let me go to the phones and welcome Mark and Warren. Again, folks, if you want to join us, 888-552-3595. Mark, welcome to the show. You're on the air with David Hecker.
Hey, David. Mark from DFT Executive Board. How you doing?
Good, Mark. How are you?
Good. Always good talking with you. Listen, one of the things that I think we should point out on the public airwaves is one of the things that makes a good teacher to the state are MEEP scores. And I think that's fundamentally wrong. Of course, I don't want to discredit the fact that, you know, the objectives on the MEEP, there's some validity to them. And, you know, obviously they're important. But the unfortunate thing, as you know, in some of the urban areas where we teach and so forth, there's a lot more progress that's made socially as well as educationally that you can't put down with a number two pencil on a merit test. So the public, I think, has to be tuned into the fact that a lot of this stuff that's coming down from the state is purely punitive, and they're not being quite as objective as they need to be and look at, you know, the whole, the gestalt part of the student, you know, as far as educating them. Yeah. I was wondering if maybe you could elaborate on that.
Yeah, and thank you, Mark, for the call and the question. David, let's go to the break and okay. Come back and address that after.
Thank you, Mark.
Mark's a great, great guy, calls the show a lot. Mm-hmm. Glad to have him out there. I want to talk a little bit about standardized testing because we have a bad habit of drawing that the correlation that MEEP score has something to do with the quality of teacher in the classroom, and we need to correct that. We truly do. David Hecker, again, my guest. Again, feel free to join us, 888-552-3595. This is Tony Trupiano. You are listening to First Shift. We'll be back after we take this break on 1310.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special best of edition of First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back with more great clips and interviews in just a bit.
And joining us now is Cheryl Witten, the president of the Michigan Advisory Board for Blessings in a Backpack.
Blessings in a Backpack is a national organization. This teacher was concerned because she had kids in her school who came back from the weekend tired and hungry and by no means ready to learn. These children are on the free and reduced lunch program during the school week, but no one thought, what happens to these children when they go home on Friday? So came up with the very simple idea, let's pack a backpack with food to take home with them on Friday, and they would return their backpack on Monday to be refilled.
All right, so if I contact Blessings in a Backpack, MI.org, how do I get involved?
There is a page to make a donation, and then we as the Michigan Board will determine where the greatest need is.
Blessings in a Backpack, MI.org.
They say the early bird gets the worm, which is fine with me because I really don't want a worm. I did, however, want one of those Ferrari FFs that Neiman Marcus was offering in its Christmas catalog this year. With a 651-horsepower V12 engine, this baby can top 200 miles an hour. That would really shorten my commute, except, of course, for little hindrances like rush hour traffic, uptight cops, and speed bumps. Yet, just having an FF parked in my driveway would speak volumes about my prestige and personal worthiness in this world. Start with a beautiful interior done in semi-aniline leather. I don't know what aniline is, nor do I know why it's only semi rather than full aniline, but I like the fact that Neiman's throws in a matching three-piece set of luggage, including a travel bag for golf clubs, made out of the same stuff. There's beaucoup room for luggage, too. The FF has 16 cubic feet of trunk space, which I think is bigger than my bedroom. However, I have to say that I'm not wild about the car's color, which the catalog calls Grigio Caldo. Huh? I learned from an Italian dictionary that this means warm drab, which doesn't exactly light my fire. But maybe the dull color is why these Ferraris are priced at only $395,000 each. And what the hey, you can always take the car to an Earl Scheib paint shop and have the color juiced up. What makes the FF worth the price, though, is its exclusiveness. Neiman's made only 10 of them available, and get this, each one comes with a numbered plaque, thus certifying that you're one of the 10 most special humans on Earth. This is Jim Hightower saying, but alas, I call too late to get mine. Neiman said that it sold out within 50 minutes of the sales date. It just shows how tough it is out there for us luxury shoppers, and you thought you had it bad.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's populist take on what the powers that be are up to. Find out more at HightowerLowdown.org.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special best of edition of First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to the clips and interviews.
Ed Hecker, again, my guest with American Federation of Teachers Michigan. Mark had called in the last segment, so David, let's just jump into it. We don't need to remind everybody what's going on. We know who you are. Let's talk a little bit about Mark's call.
Well, Mark makes a great point in that there is so much pressure put on to increase standardized test scores. In Michigan, we know that in most grades is the MEEP, as if increasing standardized test scores are the be-all and end-all of judging if a student is learning and how well a teacher is teaching. And, you know, is there a role for standardized tests? Absolutely. It should never be anything close to determinative as to judging a student or judging a teacher. There has to be multiple measures that are used to get at the answer to those questions.
If I'm a parent, based on what we currently have, David Hecker, if I'm a parent, how do I tell if my kid has a good teacher? I mean, and I hope you understand the spirit of that question.
Mm-hmm. I think there are a variety of ways, no one way determinative, right? I mean, obviously, if my child has absolutely no interest in anything going on at school, I'm not saying everything, but doesn't have any interest in anything going on at school, and I could see the way my child is acting, doesn't mean it's not a quality teacher. But, you know, that's something to go to the school and try to find out more about what's going on. Obviously, it's imperative for parents to be participate in parent-teacher conferences so parents get to meet.
Yeah, that's critical.
Parents get to meet their teachers and talk with their teachers about their children. No one knows the child better than the parent, and it's essential information to help the teacher, but it also gives the parent a way to figure out what they think about the kind of job the teacher is doing. You could also, you know, being the father of three, you know, I could tell that my child, whatever this is, history, science, my child is getting it. My child is really interested in learning this. They're really growing. They're really thinking. You know, it isn't just remembering that the War of 1812 is in 1812.
Right.
Much, much more than that is teachers getting students to think and how to conceptualize and how to process so that what you learn isn't just a specific fact, but you learn really how to think about any kind of situation. And, you know, I could judge that in my child. And if that isn't happening, again, doesn't mean the teacher isn't quality, but it means I need to start asking questions.
Yeah, one of my concerns, and I always upset parents when I do this, but I don't care. I put more of the burden on the parent than I do on the teacher. Mm-hmm. I don't think the teacher has anything to prove, quote unquote. I don't think parents do pay attention to what's happening. I think when they ask that question, how was school today, the vast majority of parents aren't even listening for the answer. They're mm-hmm. asking the question because then all of a sudden they're engaged. I should be asking, hey, how was school today? But they don't listen because they're mm-hmm. they're getting dinner together or whatever it is they're
right,
doing. But I don't
right.
think they, and I think it's unfair. None of us wants to think that our children might be the problem. You know, mm-hmm. it's, well, my son would never do that. Well, you know what? Yeah, your son would.
Mm-hmm.
Your son absolutely would. You don't know what they're doing when you're not around. And so I think that that's terribly unfair to the teacher because oftentimes, David, outside of parent-teacher conferences, the only interaction we have with that teacher is when there's a problem. It's never
right.
when there's something good. It's always
right.
when there's a problem. And, you know, I talked to a teacher just a couple weeks ago, and, you know, usually there's an open house at the beginning of every school year. I believe most schools still do mm-hmm. that. She had four parents show up for the open house. Excellent opportunity. And they do that so you can meet the teacher.
Mm-hmm.
That's on the parents, David. That's not on the teacher.
Right. And, you know, I'll also, you know, in this, we certainly recognize that some parents, to make ends meet, have more than one job or maybe have a job on a shift when parent-teacher conferences are. But if a parent can't make it Wednesday night at 8 o'clock when parent-teacher conferences are, the parent should contact the teacher and say, you know, I'm working then, or for whatever reason I can't make it, let's set up another time. And the teacher's going to say, absolutely.
And that's a great point because we have something now that we didn't have when my kids were in school even, and that's email.
Right.
You know, and my kids, my middle son's sitting in the studio next to us right now, but we didn't have email then. You can email your teachers now.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't do that before.
Mm-hmm.
They all have a phone in the classroom now. Many mm-hmm. of them actually have a cell phone that mm-hmm. some of them are even school issued, where the parent can call the teacher mm-hmm. right in the classroom. So that's a bit, that wasn't available when my, mm-hmm. I mean, you could call the office, call the teacher, mm-hmm. but it's so much easier now to interact with a teacher than it's ever been for parents.
And parents know this, but you know, sometimes I even forget, given what I do, that if you're an elementary school teacher and you have the kids all day, you know, you're going to have, depending on the school district, 30, 35 children. If you teach a subject in high school, let's say, you're going to have, you know, 5-6 periods
right.
of 30 kids, 180, you know, just time doesn't allow you to make that, you know, every, you're not thinking about every child at every moment. You can't do that. It's the parent who has to, who really needs to, who their child is the number one priority. And so it's the parent's responsibility to make sure the teacher is communicating with the student, that if there are any issues that affect what the child is doing, anything going on in life, the teacher should know about, because that affects what the teacher is able to do with the child in the classroom. And so there are a whole number of reasons why it's just imperative for parents to be involved with their children's education.
Yeah, again, and it's a critical component. We were talking, and I kind of want to go back to standardized tests for just a moment. You said that they are important and they're critical, and it is a measurement tool.
Right.
As a teacher, let's look at it from their perspective. I've never met a teacher that says, "Oh man, I'm so excited. Next week we get to teach the MEEP." All right? Or the ACT, man. We're really going to, why is it such a challenge for teachers to have to, take, because they don't they literally, and because I'm not a teacher, don't they literally have to stop their lesson plan and change everything just for that test?
Well, they do. I mean, the phrase we use is teach to the test. And the reason that has happened is because, these tests, the MEEP test was designed to be a diagnostic tool. It wasn't designed for the results to be printed in the Detroit Free Press so you could determine property values of homes in that school district.
Right.
It wasn't designed to say, Tony's a great teacher, David's not a very good teacher.
Right.
It was designed as a diagnostic tool so we could see where the student isn't performing the way we'd like the student to perform, so how do we help that student? That's why it was designed, but the scores are given so much importance, with No Child Left Behind. So much is determined, and now, in part, teacher evaluations, what mandates are going to be required of the school, whether or not children in that school go to another school or not. That teachers are forced to teach to the MEEP, which means, a critical thinking lesson may not happen because I got to make sure the child knows what the child needs to know to do well on the MEEP, because the importance of the MEEP has been made so important, so out of proportion to how it was originally designed to be used. It's absurd, and it's detrimental because it takes time away from what needs to be done in the classroom.
And in fact, last year I just did a little random non-scientific survey, and I asked parents, is the MEEP important? Every one of them said yes. And then the second question was, do you know why? And not one of them knew.
I'll also say this, that my wife and I, knocking on wood here, thanks to the labor movement, thanks to our families, had an opportunity to get an advanced formal education. And when those MEEP scores come in, and we try to figure out what those MEEP scores are actually saying, it's not the clearest report either to parents.
Quickly, before we let you go today, I have a story in front of me that I wanted to share with you. In Colorado, Jefferson County, Colorado, David, they are now allowing advertising on the bottom of a report card. And in this particular school district, it's an organization that you can invest in your child's higher education. $30,000 a year for 3 years, so it's a $90,000 contract. What do you think of that as a revenue generator?
I saw that story, and the point is obvious, and I think it's why you brought it up, Tony. It is our society should be ashamed that school districts are forced to the point of allowing advertising on report cards because they so desperately need the money.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a statement, back in, you and I are old enough, Tony, or I'm old enough, the poster from the late 60s is, let's fund education and have a bake sale to fund B-1 bombers.
Right.
I'm paraphrasing it, obviously. That is such a statement that this society should be ashamed of. That a school district is forced to do that.
Yeah, and I agree.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special best of edition of First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back with more great clips and interviews in just a bit.
recently on First Shift.
Just joining me now is Jerry Persaud, the Senior Vice President of Advancement at Gleaners Community Food Bank.
Probably the single biggest thing that's happening is happening at the federal level now, and that's looking at the food stamp program. In 2006, there were 26.5 million people participating in the food stamp program. Then you had the economic decrease, and in 2011, there were 44.2 million. That's a huge increase in the number of people seeking food help. And so if you cut that program by 10%, the jobs aren't there for people. What are they going to do? That will have a tremendous impact on what's going to happen at our local level.
First Shift with Tony Trivia
on 1310 WDTW.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button right now and register. Thank you.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special best of edition of First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW. Now back to the clips and interviews.
Yesterday, as I was looking through some information, some headlines, and I'm always looking for not just stuff to do on the show, I'm always looking for supplemental information just to try to keep myself on the cutting edge. I got an email from my friend Desiree Cooper with Planned Parenthood, and I was stunned. I was stunned to find that the state legislature was doing a little sneak attack. I will get to this in just a second, but it was a little bit of a sneak attack. They seem to be wholly focused on doing the things we don't need them to do. And I don't nearly need to enumerate what all those things are. You kind of know if you listen to the show at any given time. The state legislature, heavily Republican, just doesn't have its eye on the ball. The ball at this time is about things about the economy that gets us back to work, gets families to have some kind of stability, to instead of attacking, you know, families by taking away benefits and cutting their welfare programs, we are attacking them, making it harder for them to do what it is that they need to do. And then we get to this next topic, which I'm going to get to. Let me get to my guest, though. She's going to help me set this up. Joining me now is Lori Lamoran. She's been on this show before. She is the president of Planned Parenthood Mid and South Michigan, one of the clearest and most profound leaders for women and human rights in Southeast Michigan. And it's a pleasure to have Lori back on the show this morning. Lori, thank you so much for your time.
Good morning, Tony. Glad to be here.
I appreciate it. You know, listen, I think we can both agree that there are a lot of things our legislature can and should be working on that have absolutely nothing to do with a woman's right to choose. In fact, I can't think of a single reason why they would even want to be discussing a woman's rights to do anything but find a good job right now.
Well, we would agree with you, Tony. That's, you know, Michigan families are really just struggling right now. and have all sorts of things to be concerned about. So the fact that these two bills is what the state senate is looking at was really quite a shock to us.
All right, well, let's take a look at what they were looking at. If I understand this correctly, because it was kind of a shock to me, this really was, I did not see this coming. What they were looking at doing was actually banning the coverage, abortion coverage in Michigan with any health insurance plan. Do I understand that correctly?
That's correct. They're saying that if insurance plans of all stripes offer women's health coverage, that those coverage policies cannot include the safe legal procedure of abortion.
All right. Well, again, I just can't for the life of me figure out where this comes from. Now, I got to ask, because you guys have lobbyists and you've got your ears to the ground and you know what's happening politically. Did you see this coming?
We didn't, actually, Tony. It was a surprise to us as well. There have been discussions around the country related to health care reform and abortion coverage, but certainly not an all-out ban of abortion coverage for any woman with a health policy. And I think that's a complete overreach. We were very surprised that the government would decide to intrude themselves into the regular offerings that an insurance company might choose to give to a patient.
Well, you know, and again, as we, and because we visited this topic the many times on the show, and first of all, we you know, for those that are not aware of it, not that you shouldn't be, but, you know, abortions happen to be legal. To mandate to insurance companies that they will not cover a legal procedure that is, by the way, best done in a doctor setting and you know, it's safe. It's you know, there's, you know, profoundly good reasons that we do things the way we do them now, is beyond offensive to me. And once again, as we look at what the legislature is trying to do, and I need to point out that it is a heavily Republican legislature, this is about, again, trying to legislate morality when this isn't even about morality, nor should it be, Lori, about morality. It should be about the law, and the law says this is legal. I don't understand why they can't just leave this alone.
Well, that's correct. And I think beyond that, you know, this singles out women unnecessarily. It will make sure that, because one of the provisions of the law is that individual health providers could offer a rider that women could purchase specifically for abortion. But certainly women don't say in any one given year, gee, maybe I ought to spend money this year on a separate rider to my abortion, to my health insurance coverage in case I need an abortion. You know, folks don't plan on abortions by definition. It is a procedure that they turn to in desperate moments when they have had a pregnancy that could be threatening to their health. You know, there are 3,000 pregnant women a year who would get diagnosed with breast cancer. They would not have the coverage available to them to choose to terminate a pregnancy to save their own life under this. There is no provision for families who have coverage and experience a rape or an incident of incest that results in pregnancy, which happens more than 25,000 times a year in this country. You know, there are eventualities where very wanted pregnancies turn into health threats or life threats for the mother. There are no provisions for any of that. It's just an out-and-out ban. And unless you have decided ahead of time to purchase a separate rider, which in other states who have done something like this, what ends up happening is that product as a rider for abortion isn't even offered because insurance companies know that there's no market for them. It's an administrative nightmare, et cetera. And I think it's interesting to point out that this a very similar legislation was proposed in 2001, and the governor at that time, John Engler, who was a Republican himself, vetoed the legislation because he said there were real questions about how it should be administered, and he questioned the constitutionality. So, you know, I'm just surprised that this is how we're spending our time and our state's precious resources.
Well, I find it, Lori Lamoran, so invasive into this, not just for women, for families everywhere, that the legislature would take it upon themselves to do something. And we know, by the way, statistically, and there's been a lot of polling done on this, you know, I don't care if you're Republican or Democrat, the majority of Americans don't want this issue to be legislated. They don't want they don't want their health insurance to be mandated to do one thing or another. Because the reality is, Lori, at the end of the day, as you said, these decisions are made in desperate times. This is not, you know, somebody doesn't sit around and say, in 2012, I'm having an abortion, so I better make sure that I'm covered. That doesn't happen. And this
well,
idea,
of course not. I mean, but this that's idea, the,
well, this idea that the legislature, for, again, for whatever reason, they are pretending to be God, because that's what they're doing, is playing God, Lori.
Well, I think the other thing that should be pointed out is we're talking about even women who would be purchasing health insurance coverage, not maybe through their employer, but out of their own pocket and resources. And to say that I do not have available to me the health insurance coverage that I need at that sort of desperate moment, even if I have paid for it of my own volition, out of my own pocket, to say that that won't be available is a dramatic overreach into basic commerce. How can they tell people, tell the insurance companies you can or cannot offer this procedure? And, you know, we have to remember that good-thinking people disagree about abortion, and I honor that. But we certainly don't want it to be that our health insurance will be dictated by people's religious beliefs often.
Well,
would we ever tolerate, you know, the religious, there are some religions that that are not comfortable with things like blood transfusions. And we certainly would not tolerate a legislative move that said health insurance companies could not pay for blood transfusions, because there are folks that disagree with that. It's a legal procedure that, in fact, is related to saving the health or life of a woman in many, many instances. And we are going to now say that that's not an appropriate coverage vehicle to be offered by insurance companies. I just think that's a dramatic overreach.
Well, let me tell people the good news. The good news is this didn't even get out of committee yesterday, because the Democrats, in a very wise move, forced the Republicans to read the unemployment legislation that was before them so that it could be read into the record, and it was some 800 pages long, therefore delaying any other activity that day. But, Lori, what it does do is give us an opportunity and a little bit of a heads up that this is coming, and we don't know when it's coming, but now is the time people need to get on the phone with their senators and say, absolutely, positively, you must vote no on SBs 612, 13, and 14.
That's right. And I think people need to be reminded that our legislators are there to do our bidding and to represent what we believe. We've learned over and over again that if constituents really reach out to legislators and say that we think that what they're taking up is the wrong thing, it does help some of those that are more thoughtful and really are looking out for the good of their constituents to pause and say, maybe this isn't the way to go. So certainly we have hope about that, but in all likelihood, we will see these Senate bills pop up again. And, I'm fearful that they'll pass. And when they do, then I guess it'll be up to Governor Snyder, and that'll be an interesting statement. He has been strong in his opposition to entertain any bills of a social nature. To his credit, that Governor Snyder has been laser focused on trying to get the economy moving. So
absolutely.
I can't imagine he's thrilled with this either. So we'll see how that ends.
Well, again, the good news is we now know we can start doing some things proactively. Lori Lamoran, thank you so much. We're just out of time for this morning. I appreciate you being with us.
Thanks, Tony. Have a great day.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special best of edition of First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back with more great clips and interviews in just a bit.
Notice things are different now that you're a little older? Lower energy, more fat, it all could be the signs of testosterone levels dropping. We can boost testosterone by 61% with Ageless Male, a safe, natural supplement that helps you maintain normal, healthy testosterone levels. Be an Ageless Male. For your risk-free trial, just call 1-800-514-8433. 1-800-514-8433. 1-800-514-8433.
The following letter was written by Technical Sergeant Jerry G., U.S. Air Force.
I've just finished reading over some of the correspondence you've sent us over here. And for an old dog like me, I was choked up. Thanks to each and every one of you. You're the reason why I have proudly put on the uniform of the American forces, to serve folks like you, those we all love and honor, and those who do not have what we have, but who are willing to stand next to us and fight for their own freedom as well. So the next time you see one of my brothers or sisters in arms, shake their hands or pat them on the back. Tell them you support them. This is what we cherish more than anything.
Your support may be the most important thing our troops can carry with them. But don't take our word for it. Take theirs. To show your support, visit americasupportsyou.mil. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Defense and the Ad Council.
Hey, it's Tony from First Shift. Weekdays from 6 to 9 right here on 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. Now time for news from CNN.
CNN Radio, I'm Jim Ribble. Top story this hour. A new CNN Time ORC poll shows that Republican presidential candidate Mitt Romney apparently is leading in Iowa with Ron Paul close behind. The poll has Rick Santorum in third place with the Iowa caucuses coming up next Tuesday. Santorum accuses Romney of being a flip-flopper.
His position on Romney care, his position on marriage, his position on cap and trade, his position, there's a whole laundry list of issues where Mitt's been all over the map.
Arab League observers are in Syria trying to figure out a way to help the country stop the violence against civilians. CNN's Mohammed Jamjoum reports opposition groups fear the observers are getting a sanitized view.
The opposition activists and residents are wondering if this is a transparent visit. They see that this delegation is being escorted around by government minders. That's what they're telling us. They don't know if they're being shown the worst of the scenes of the crackdown that's been going on.
UN estimates more than 5,000 people have died since the Syrian uprising began last spring. North Korean state TV broadcasts scenes of huge crowds assembled in Pyongyang at a national memorial service for the leader, Kim Jong-il. His son has been named supreme leader to replace him. Two professors would like to change your calendar so that days and dates are the same every year. CNN's Andy Rose looks at the idea to keep dates predictable.
The 364-day calendar isn't the first to try to make each date fall on the same day of the week year after year, but its designers say it's the first that actually accomplishes that with a 7-day week. In their version, every third month would have 31 days, with a leap week every 6 years.
The professors, one an astrophysicist, the other an economist, say everything would be simpler. Mortgage calculations, financial derivatives, sports team schedules, college course schedules, all they say would benefit from having the same calendar every year. A person wearing an Afghan National Army uniform killed two French soldiers in eastern Afghanistan today. The victims were members of the NATO security force. The Taliban claims responsibility. This is CNN Radio.
This is a special announcement from Lumber Liquidators.
We must reduce inventory before year's end, so we're making deals on every floor in every store. That's right. If it's in stock, it's on sale if you take it home before the year ends. Plus, get extended special financing on top name laminate flooring from just 29 cents. Pre-finished solid domestic hardwood starting at just 99 cents. Pre-finished solid exotic hardwood from only $149. So hurry to Lumber Liquidators before the year ends, because if it's in stock, it's on sale.
Now at the Winter Storage event, the Home Depot's made a special buy on 20-gallon storage totes for just $5.88 each. These colorful totes are durable, stackable, and they hold a lot of stuff. All of which means that New Year's Get Organized resolution you made is pretty much in the bag, or the tote. Make room for savings right now with colorful 20-gallon storage totes for just $5.88 each. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. While supplies last, U.S. only. See store for details.
With costs rising into the hundreds of thousands for a college education, it might be difficult to justify the price. But new research suggests it's even more difficult to live with the consequences of not going to college. ConvergeX Group reports college grads now make about $39,000 a year on average, or $18,000 more every year than high school grads. Geographically and financially, it was the worst oil spill in U.S. history, but the Gulf spill of 2010 still has yielded no criminal charges. The Wall Street Journal reports charges are now about to hit. Prosecutors preparing counts against several engineers in Houston who work for BP. They could be accused of providing false information and documents. Charges against BP itself could follow quickly. Watching the oil market is worried U.S. oil inventory is unexpectedly high, as offset by growing geopolitical tension with Iran. Oil up a dime to $99.50 a barrel. S&P and NASDAQ futures each gaining 4 points. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
Mom, I can't do my math homework. I just don't get it. I'm no good at math. I hate math.
I've always considered myself a good mother, but when it came to my son Billy's math, I was at a loss. It wasn't that he didn't try, but he kept falling further behind and losing confidence. Then a friend told me about Math Made Easy DVDs. You can order any subject from arithmetic to fractions, percents, algebra, even calculus. Concepts are simplified in an entertaining way, so students enjoy learning at their own pace, in the convenience of home. It's as easy as watching TV. Best of all, it's affordable for everyone. Listen, in the frustration, call Math Made Easy. Call now for a 30-day risk-free trial. 866-568-MATH. Now that school is in full swing, it's important for your child to keep up with the fast-moving classroom pace. With Math Made Easy, your child will always be prepared and one step ahead. Call now, 866-568-MATH. That's 866-568-6284.
This is a special announcement from Lumber Liquidators.
We must reduce inventory before year's end, so we're making deals on every floor in every store. That's right. If it's in stock, it's on sale if you take it home before the year ends. Plus, get extended special financing on top-name laminate flooring from just 29 cents. Pre-finished solid domestic hardwood starting at just 99 cents. Pre-finished solid exotic hardwood from only $149. So hurry to Lumber Liquidators before the year ends, because if it's in stock, it's on sale.
I'm sure you're thinking, boy, I'd like to pay less for my car insurance, but switching seems like a lot of work. All the hassle and whatnot. Well, I'm here to tell you that is simply not the case. GEICO makes it so easy to switch and start saving money straight away, without getting buried in a ton of paperwork. You know, that actually happened to me once. Literally, I was buried under my income taxes for 6 days. Haunting, really.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com. GEICO, 15 minutes.
Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to First Shift. I'm Jeff Radford, and today I'm bringing you simply the best clips and most recent clips of First Shift with Tony Truffiano. Interviews, segments, thoughts, conversations that have sparked a lot of feedback. We thank you so much for listening and being part of the show, being part of our lives, and we hope you enjoy the show. From all of us to all of you, we hope you have a safe and happy holiday season. But now, on to the clips.
All right, welcome back to First Shift here on 1310 WDTW. And joining us now is Martha Bain. She is the author of Soup and Bread Cookbook, Building Community One Pot at a Time. She's also the founder of Soup and Bread, a weekly soup dinner and hunger relief fundraiser. Perhaps you've read her work in the Washington Post or Book Forum, Time Out Chicago, or even The Baffler. She was also the editor and writer for the Chicago Reader for over 10 years. Martha, thank you for joining us today on the show.
Thanks for having me.
The book is outstanding, well-designed, put together, very well-written, first of all, very eye-catching, and I thought it was laid out really well.
Thank you. I can't take credit for the layout, but I'm really happy with the way it turned out.
Yeah, what I like about it is that you mix in, you know, stories along with recipes. You know, for a guy like me who, you know, I've only known soup coming out of a can. So for me to read a cookbook, it was kind of odd, but I enjoyed the stories that went along with them. And then you even kind of matched the recipes with the stories.
Yeah, well, I have a background as a food writer, but I've always been more interested in the stories behind the food that we're eating as opposed to, I don't consider myself a culinary expert in terms of talking about the food. I like what it says about our culture and about our history and about the people who make it.
Well,
I really tried to get that through in the book.
Yeah, that brings up a good point about why did you choose soup? Like, what about soup helps build communities together?
I think soup has so many kind of practical and metaphoric benefits. It's an easy thing to cook for a crowd, so we do these community dinners in Chicago where we're serving like 100, 150 people. It's easy, so soup is an easy thing to transport and to serve to a large group of people. It's relatively affordable. It's very adaptable. You can do just about anything with soup. But it's also got these kind of associations of nurturing and, like chicken soup when you're sick that your grandma makes you, or the soup that you associate with sort of feeding people in times of trial, when, like during the Depression, when we, you know, when we saw people going to soup kitchens. And that's definitely something that we've been trying to do with our project in Chicago, is make the connection between like soup and community and hunger and sort of just taking care of the people around you.
That's a great point. The power of soup. Joining us, as I said, is Martha Bain. She did is the author of Soup and Book Cookbook, Building Community One Pot at a Time. Do you have any inspiring soup-related stories that stand out for you when you were writing this book?
The book came about because as I started doing this project in Chicago for the last couple years, people would start to come to me and tell me about their soup stories. And I hadn't really thought about soup that much when I first started working on this, but it seems like everyone had something to say about soup. And they would come and tell me, when I was little, we used to have a family soup dinner where once a month our entire extended family would get together and have soup. Or they would start telling me about other sort of social justice and community building projects that they had participated in around soup. Like in Detroit, for example, there's this project called Detroit Soup. And that's actually a chapter in the book where I came out to Detroit and talked to some people who were working on this, where it's a community of artists and sort of creative-minded people get together and have a soup dinner as a fundraiser, and people present their art projects at the fundraiser. And then the people who are eating the dinner vote on which art project they like the best, and whoever wins sort of wins the money that was raised at the event. And so they get, you know, maybe a couple $100 to take their art to the next level. So things like that I found really fascinating, and was really what made me think that, like, oh, well, there's actually more going on here than just food in a bowl.
Yeah, that was one of the things I liked about the book, obviously from being from this area, that you had a section written about coming to Detroit and working with the project there. But you recently were here as well, only a couple of weeks ago. Can you talk about your time here just a few days ago?
We came out to the Loving Touch Pool Hall in Ferndale, which is it's next to, owned by the Woodward Avenue Brewers. And I had never been out there before. The only time I'd been to Detroit previously was when I came out to do research for the book earlier this year. But we worked with the Woodward Avenue Brewers and the people at the Emery, which is a restaurant across the street, to do a soup and bread event. It was really fun. We had about 6 different soups from a variety of contributors, some other local restaurants. I'm trying to remember the names of them, but I'm blanking. Ohm Cafe, the Emery. A local cook named Aaron Poyle, a couple of other places, and some really amazing bread from Avalon Bread. And it was just a very casual, you know, kind of low-key event where anybody who wanted to could come, have some soup, donate a couple dollars into our donations bucket, and then all the money we raised went to the Green Earth Community Food Bank.
That's one of the cool things, too, about the tour that you're on, the book and everything is, that you really have partnered up with charities. And it's almost a very important part of this entire process that you're helping feed the hungry and have a social conscience with this book.
Yeah, that's a big driving force behind the project itself. In Chicago, we do this every week in the wintertime. So every week we partner with a different sort of neighborhood food pantry or local hunger relief organization. So we try to get like a diverse range of groups that we work with. And when we've been going around and doing these events in other cities, I've basically been tapping the people that we know in the other cities to say, like, hey, what's a good organization that you work with? Who do you think is doing good stuff in your area? With a focus on hunger relief and nutrition and things like that. So the people at the Woodward Avenue Brewers said, Gleaners is the place that you want to work with. They're great. So.
Yeah,
that
definitely.
We went with.
We've had them on the show a couple of times, and very important, especially this time of year, but not only this time of year, throughout the year as well.
And especially in the last couple of years, as the recession has really kind of gotten hooks into everybody. I'm sure you know that the need for supplemental food assistance is just kind of going through the roof in some areas, and it's shocking.
Really,
so we're trying to do what we can. You know, we are not, obviously we're not raising, like, the sort of the big, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars that sort of the large scale fundraising efforts do, but we do micro fundraising. And when we're talking about raising a couple hundred dollars a week, and that couple hundred dollars is going to go to a small neighborhood organization that realizes that it needs to buy peanut butter for its, you know, for its food pantry that week. It actually goes a long way. It's very, you know, direct action.
Yeah, I think you make a great point with that. We had another organization, Blessings in a Backpack, talk about that very same thing, mm-hmm. how you can really make a little bit go a long ways if you use it in the right way.
Exactly. So that's our goal.
So you also, I see you have a website, soupandbread.net. Is this where you can go to get the book?
You can get the book off of the website. If you just click on the picture of the book that's in the corner there, that'll take you to our publisher's website. The publisher is a Chicago-based publisher called Agate Publishing, and they're great, independent publisher, small, local organization. So, you know, we send the business their way. It's also available on Amazon and all its regular, all your normal book-buying outlets.
And like I said, it makes a great gift, especially for this time of holiday. It sends the right message. You're helping out. And it also is just a great looking book and fun to flip through. I mean, I'll tell you this. I didn't read straight through it, page one, two, or three. but I flipped, you know, around to different stories and seeing what you wrote about, especially looking for the section on Detroit.
Right.
And it's a very entertaining book, even though it's a cookbook.
Right. Well, again, I like the stories behind the food and the stories behind the people who bring the food. You know, since we've been doing this for so long in Chicago, we have a pretty solid network of people who've participated. So I really wanted to get that through in the book as well. Like that these were all recipes that were coming from real people with their own real stories and backgrounds. So there's a little bit of information, you know, about each cook and little stories about where the soup comes from.
Well, and it's also a cookbook. Is there a favorite recipe in here that that you would like to maybe point out?
Oh, that's such a hard question to answer. I can't pick a favorite recipe. My father has a recipe in the book.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Which my father sent to me, and then I prepared the soup and brought it to the event. So that was, you know, they're really trying to create networks between all sorts of different people.
Well, it sounds like it's an important book, not only, you know, for the help it does in feeding the hunger, but also it means something to you, and it's something that you're pretty passionate about as well.
I am. It was this project that started out small, and it's grown and grown over the last couple of years, and I'm very excited to see what happens next.
Well, great. Check it out. Soupandbread.net is the website, and, of course, you can go to Amazon as well. Martha, thank you so much for taking the time out and joining us on First Shift today.
Thanks for having me.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special Best of edition of First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to the clips and interviews.
As I was sharing with you earlier on in the show today, we've got Congressman Hanson Clark joining us. Now, a little later on this morning, he and Congressman John Conyers will be holding a press conference to place some needed attention on the plight of our veterans who are returning from war, some of them, of course, disabled, that don't have jobs. And this morning at the historic Fort Wayne, again, Congressman Hanson Clark and John Conyers will be there to talk about how we salute our veterans. And on the line with me now is Congressman Hanson Clark, my good friend. How are you this morning?
Tony, it's great being on your show. You're a real champion for our people here in Metro Detroit. And you're right. Today, 10 a.m., historic Fort Wayne, we're going to salute our veterans. And the best way to do that is to help them find a job, get them the health care that they need, the shelter that they deserve. The reason I say shelter, many of the men that I see downtown Detroit that are getting their food and their breakfasts out of garbage dumpsters are veterans, which is an outrage. So we wanted to bring the veterans, their families together to meet the providers that can help them with the services that our veterans need, but to meet with them face-to-face under one roof this morning. That's at 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. So we're urging all veterans in Metro Detroit that need help finding work, getting health care, finding shelter, staying in their homes, avoid foreclosure, please come to historic Fort Wayne. I'll be there personally to be your advocate, Congressman Hanson Clark.
All right. Now, I got to tell you, this is, of course, a wonderful thing that you're doing. I know that President Obama has a special program out there. I can't think of a less partisan issue than helping our veterans. Why are the Republicans stalling on this? Do you have any idea, Congressman?
Well, you know, I'm just trying to focus on helping the veterans right now. And, you know, these cuts, though, that are being proposed, especially the Veterans Administration. That would just devastate any help that our veterans could get. These cases are backlogged right now as it is. Many of our veterans that call the VA, they can't get through because of all the calls. So we can't really cut resources from that are going to our veterans, because our veterans desperately need it right now.
Yeah, you know, and let's be mindful. We're not just talking about recent veterans. We're talking about any veteran, right? It doesn't matter when you served your country. It just matters that you served your country.
That's exactly right. And the tragedy is that many of our veterans that need the help the most, that are out on the streets, served us in Vietnam. And that's outrageous for them not to have a home right now. So we wanted to make sure that the veterans and their families, also we're busing some of the veterans from the shelters right now so they can meet directly with the people that can help them get the health treatment that they need and the job training that's important.
All right, well, let me just share, the veterans that are listening, or if you know a veteran, by the way, that would need this, folks, let me get you some information here. They're going to be connected with over 25 agencies that provide vital social and economic resources. These agencies focus on job training, higher education, entrepreneurship, and many other opportunities that are available to veterans that I'm going to guess veterans and families aren't even aware that this stuff exists.
That's probably true. And I'm glad you mentioned about entrepreneurship. You know, many of our veterans have the skills that they need to go in their own business. We want to provide them with that assistance because they can create jobs for many people in Metro Detroit.
No question. Well, again, let me remind everybody, the historic Fort Wayne, let me give you the address, folks, in case you need to MapQuest it or something. It's 6325 West Jefferson Avenue in Detroit. That's 6325 West Jefferson Avenue in Detroit. The zip is 48209, and it's real easy to find. Should be an amazing day. And again, Congressman John Conyers and my guest, Congressman Hanson Clark, will be out there today. Congressman, thanks so much for your time today. I'm sure you're going to have a big turnout.
You're very welcome. Our veterans deserve our support because they sacrificed everything for us.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Congressman.
You're welcome.
We'll talk soon. You bet.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special Best of edition of First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back with more great clips and interviews in just a bit.
And joining us now is Cheryl Witten, the president of the Michigan Advisory Board for Blessings in a Backpack.
Blessings in a Backpack is a national organization. This teacher was concerned because she had kids in her school who came back from the weekend tired and hungry and by no means ready to learn. These children are on the free and reduced lunch program during the school week, but no one thought, what happens to these children when they go home on Friday? So came up with the very simple idea, let's pack a backpack with food to take home with them on Friday, and they would return their backpack on Monday to be refilled.
All right, so if I contact blessingsinabackpackmi.org, how do I get involved?
There is a page to make a donation, and then we as the Michigan Board will determine where the greatest need is.
Blessingsinabackpackmi.org.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special Best Of edition of First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to the clips and interviews.
So let us turn our attention, because we do have her now, and I told you, she's the champion of all things big and small, and certainly willing to protect every single person in Michigan, and she's about to tell us a story. But let me welcome Senator Debbie Stabenow back to First Shift. Senator, happy holidays to you. Thank you for giving us a little time this morning.
Oh, absolutely, and thanks so much, Tony. It's good to be with you. I hope you're all ready for the holidays.
Absolutely. Well, I will be. You know, I'll be one of those Friday afternoon shoppers, but that's okay. All is well, and all is well in my world. Listen, I want to tell the story of a young lady by the name of Lisa Lehman. And, you know, I was telling the audience before you arrived just now, you know, this might seem like a small story to some people, but to you, it's not a small story at all.
No, not at all. Well, first of all, Lisa is an artist, and she and her husband own a jewelry store in Grand Rapids. It's called Studio Jewel, and she does beautiful handmade jewelry, and she, in fact, had been highlighted on the ABC Made in America website because she makes products using materials from America. And there's, you know, a great effort to showcase and encourage people to buy things made in America so we can have a middle class in this country. And so Lisa has this wonderful jewelry, and she's someone tells her about this international website that's advertising her jewelry, but not saying it's made by her. In other words, somebody ripped her off, basically. We have right now counterfeiters around the world, and they're now putting things up on international websites, and this particular website had her jewelry and her children modeling her jewelry up on this website, saying it was in fact a Chinese business. And so Lisa contacted me. She got out on her own Facebook page and talked to other folks and so on, and the website talked with her and contacted me. It's a company called Alibaba.com, and they pulled down all these products that were being advertised as being from a Chinese company rather than Lisa's. And so all those are off the website now, and I've been talking to the website about how they can put more controls in place. As an international website, you know, it's kind of like Amazon, but internationally, and if they're going to be advertising things, there need to be checks and balances here to know what is really being advertised and whether or not it's made by the business that, you know, that says it is, so that we don't see these counterfeit operations, particularly from China, where there's so many that are taking place. So bottom line is, at the moment, Lisa and her company are okay, but I've called for an investigation by the United States Trade Representative into this, because when we've looked more closely, we found that the latest study just released shows that up to 20% of Chinese products are actually counterfeit, and so far it's cost us in the United States over 2 million jobs. So this isn't just Lisa Lehman in Grand Rapids, although it's very important to her and her family, but this is a representation of what is happening now to small businesses, as well as larger businesses who create a product and then turn around and find that somebody's stealing it and trying to sell it.
Yeah, and Senator Stabenow, and before we talk about the Americans' Competitiveness Plan, which is critical here, you know, not only did it cost 2.1 million American jobs, but it also represents 8% of China's entire gross domestic product. That's a big number.
It is a big number. And, Tony, when you add up all of the other things, I mean, internationally, you know, China's been a part of this world trading community. They were officially let in back in 2000, so that with the idea that if they were part of the WTO, that they'd be forced to follow the rules like every other country. But they break the rules over and over again by, you know, manipulating their currency. So when they sell something to us, they get an artificial discount. They don't care about patents. you know, they don't care that somebody like Lisa has spent a long, long time developing her craft and her jewelry and painstakingly putting it together and, you know, marketing it and advertising it on a website and developing a good business. And they think it's okay to just come in and take it. I had another gentleman that I talked to a number of years ago that first got me focused on this, who was making this little a product for cutting wood. It was about a $70 product. Turned around, a Chinese company not only stole the product, but the packaging and everything, would just put their name on it. And he went to court, finally got his patent back and got them to stop it, but it cost a lot of money, and he was kind of out there by himself. And on the other side was the Chinese government fighting for the business. And so that's what got me thinking about an important piece that is a part of the American competitiveness plan. We need a trade prosecutor working out of in Washington, basically the cop on the beat, the person in the office that Lisa can call or anybody can call that would take the case and on their behalf push back on the company or on the business internationally to be able to stop this infringement, counterfeiting patent infringement, and so on. And so this is a very important piece of my American competitiveness plan, to get in place a U.S. trade prosecutor who would have sole responsibility for enforcing trade laws and stopping other countries from breaking the rules.
Well, you know, I've got to tell you, Senator, and this is as I was reading about this yesterday and doing some research, and it seems clear to me, and I'm going to make available to my audience a letter that you put together to Ron Cook and Alan Burson, the U.S. Trade Representative, the Commissioner. I think people need to understand how deeply committed you are to righting this wrong.
Well, there's no question, Tony, that in my judgment, I mean, we're in a global economy. We want to export our products, but we don't want to export our jobs. And that's exactly what we're doing every day. And that's happening for a number of reasons. Tax laws that aren't, you know, fair or really focused on America. There's a number of different reasons why we're in this situation. But one of them is just plain the fact that in a global economy, there were a set of rules set up, and other countries aren't following them. And China's the biggest violator, but there are others as well. And we have got to understand it's in our interest to fight for our businesses and our workers. It doesn't mean we're against trade. It doesn't mean we don't understand there's a global marketplace. But every other country fights for their businesses and their workers, and they understand what that means. And every day we go up against something with China. Again, it's manipulating their currency, or now they say to our auto industry, you want to do business in our country, you have to give us all your intellectual property. You have to tell us exactly how you do the Chevy Volt or the Ford Focus Electric or whatever new technology. And then they take it, and a few months later, they're making it through a Chinese business, and they say, well, we don't need you in here anymore.
Yeah, and this is just wrong. This is just dead wrong. I promised Miguel I'd get you out by quarter two, and I lied, but tell him not to be mad at me. Senator, I do have a quick message from you. A gentleman writes that says that he is formerly unemployed and that your son, through the Michigan Credit Union League, has been a great advocate and helped him get back on his feet, and he wanted to thank you for all the work that you do.
Oh, well, thank you so much, and I'll pass that along to Todd. That's great. And, you know, Tony, let me just say, this is, you know, this is a special time of year, family and friends and so on, and I hope that we can all take a moment to reach out and help somebody else. A lot of folks who've been hit so hard and are still struggling to, you know, get through what's been the longest recession here in our lifetime. And we've also got a lot of troops coming home and a lot of folks that and military families that need our help as well.
Absolutely. Well, 2012 is going to be a huge year. You know that we're going to be there for you in your fight to gain this seat back. We'll look forward to a very prosperous new year in that regard. Senator, thanks so much. Happy holidays to you.
Happy holidays.
Absolutely. Senator Debbie Stabenow. Folks, a very quick break here.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special best of edition of First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back with more great clips and interviews in just a bit.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining me now is Jerry Persan, the Senior Vice President of Advancement at Gleaners Community Food Bank.
Probably the single biggest thing that's happening is happening at the federal level now, and that's looking at the food stamp program. In 2006, there were 26.5 million people participating in the food stamp program. Then you had the economic decrease, and in 2011, there were 44.2 million. That's a huge increase in the number of people seeking food help. And so if you cut that program by 10%, the jobs aren't there for people. What are they going to do? That will have a tremendous impact on what's going to happen at our local level.
First Shift with Tony Trivino on 1310 WDTW.
They say the early bird gets the worm, which is fine with me because I really don't want a worm. I did, however, want one of those Ferrari FFs that Neiman Marcus was offering in its Christmas catalog this year. With a 651-horsepower V12 engine, this baby can top 200 miles an hour. That would really shorten my commute, except, of course, for little hindrances like rush hour traffic, uptight cops, and speed bumps. Yet, just having an FF parked in my driveway would speak volumes about my prestige and personal worthiness in this world. Start with a beautiful interior done in semi-aniline leather. I don't know what aniline is, nor do I know why it's only semi rather than full aniline, but I like the fact that Neiman's throws in a matching three-piece set of luggage, including a travel bag for golf clubs, made out of the same stuff. There's beaucoup room for luggage, too. The FF has 16 cubic feet of trunk space, which I think is bigger than my bedroom. However, I have to say that I'm not wild about the car's color, which the catalog calls Grigio Caldo. Huh? I learned from an Italian dictionary that this means warm drab, which doesn't exactly light my fire. But maybe the dull color is why these Ferraris are priced at only $395,000 each. And what the hey, you can always take the car to an Earl Scheib paint shop and have the color juiced up. What makes the FF worth the price, though, is its exclusiveness. Neiman's made only 10 of them available, and get this, each one comes with a numbered plaque, thus certifying that you're one of the 10 most special humans on Earth. This is Jim Hightower saying, but alas, I called too late to get mine. Neiman said that it sold out within 50 minutes of the sales date. It just shows how tough it is out there for us luxury shoppers, and you thought you had it bad.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's populist take on what the powers that be are up to. Find out more at HightowerLowdown.org.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special best of edition of First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to the clips and interviews.
In fact, my next guest was listening to the show one day and called in last week, and this is the second time this happened. It happened with the Sierra Club earlier this week, And so I said, you know, why don't we have him on and as a guest? So we're going to get to that in just a minute. And then, of course, we have Occupy Detroit at 7:50 today. Tomorrow we're full. We have W. Stabenow, Senator Stabenow, on a little bit later on this morning. So a lot to get to. For those of you that are already off of work for the holiday, I hope you're enjoying yourself. Thank you for enjoying your morning coffee and inviting First Shift into your home. If you're at work, of course, so am I. So let's get this thing going. At the end of the Michigan legislative session last week, a bevy of really bad legislation passed in the Republican-controlled House and Senate. The governor has been actively using his OK pen this week, much to my chagrin. And amongst the things that he has passed was Senate Bill 618, which allowed for the eventual cap to be removed on charter schools in the state of Michigan. Well, what does this mean? Well, I got to tell you, my next guest was listening to the show last week and called us to share with us briefly what he thought it meant. I thought it meant that we should have him back on so we could have a much more thorough conversation. So joining us now is John Duffy. John is the president of MEA-NEA Local 1 and chairperson of the 6E Coordinating Council for the Michigan Education Association. He represents 16 school districts here in Southeast Michigan. And John Duffy, Merry Christmas to you. Thank you for joining us this morning on First Shift.
Merry Christmas and happy holidays to you, Tony, and your listeners. And I really appreciate you putting me on today.
Not a problem. And I'm going to give you a chance because you said, you know, I want to talk about charter schools and the implications, right. But I'm really upset about the payroll tax cut. So I'm going to give you a chance, John, to talk about that. I want to hear what you have to say on that. So,
well, I heard what Steny Hoyer had to say, and the payroll tax cut is just part of the pattern of sticking it to the middle class, sticking it to the people that work for a living in this country to fund people at the top. And with the charter schools, that bill has been in the works for well over 20 years. The Mackinac Center on their website touts the fact that they have been an integral part of this for over 20 years trying to get that bill through. And now that day has come, and the governor signed it on Tuesday. And what it's going to do, it's going to open up the state of Michigan and hopefully for the Mackinac Center, the rest of the country, to for-profit chain schools that will be completely funded by public school tax dollars, and it's just not right.
Well, it is not right, and of course, the key to what you just said, John Duffy, is tax dollars. This, of course, has, you know, it goes back to something I say on the program all the time, which is the three infamous words: follow the money. John, you know, for people that aren't aware, you know, you've talked about this being a two-decade, you know, struggle. We thought certainly, and a little bit of fear during the John Engler years, that this would have been legislation that would have passed. How remarkable is it, John, that here we are, you know, some years later, having the perfect storm, if you will, Republican House, Republican Senate, Republican governor, Republican Supreme Court. I mean, they've got their bases covered. Here's the problem, John. None of this addresses the quality of an education our children get.
Oh, absolutely, Tony. And the Tri-County Alliance of Superintendents, Wayne, Oakland, and Macomb County, sent letters to all the legislators saying there is no proof, no evidence that says the charter schools are superior. In fact, most charter schools are inferior to public schools. And this is from the superintendents, the people that normally they listen to. The Detroit News in July said the 25, in their July 7th article, so the 25 high school charters in Metro Detroit significantly did much worse in math or science proficiency than Detroit public schools. So the evidence, and Western Michigan also did a study showing that charter schools, not only are they inferior, they spend most of their money on administrative costs, i.e. profit. It's all about making money. And, Tony, if I have a minute here, I want to start with the key figures, which is, of course, it's at the Mackinac Center. Tom McMillan is our representative out of Rochester Hills. And Tom McMillan, you won't see it in his biography, but for 4 years, from 04 to 08, he was the president of Prevail Heritage Academy's for-profit charter school before he became a state representative. And now he is the chairman of the House Education Committee. And he was an integral in making sure not only that this bill passed, but when the Democrats tried over and over and over again to put in an amendment that said all schools must be non-profit, he was instrumental in ensuring that never happened. The entire point of having charter schools is that they be for-profit. And for Mr. McMillan, his boss is a man named J.C. Heisinger out of western part of the state. He's a multimillionaire who owns National Heritage Academies, the second largest charter school operation in the country. And Mr. Heising is also one of the number one person who donates to the Republican Party. And he now has an open path to creating a chain of for-profit charters with his National Heritage Academies. His cousin is Wayne Heisinger, who runs Blockbuster, Auto Nation, and Waste Management. And he's looking at turning these charters into the same model of a national for-profit chain AKA, or just like AutoNation and Blockbuster chains.
Well, you know, and let's be mindful. So, what does that mean? You know, we apply that kind of vision to education. What does that mean? It means that now education becomes a business, which is a dangerous place for it to live, John, as I think you would agree. We start talking about privatization. We start talking about, you know, maximizing our dollars. How do we leverage this over that? We talk about streamlining. I'm using business terms, John. That's all I'm doing.
Sure.
I'm using terms that, you know, that will become a commonplace in the educational setting, and that's the last place they belong.
Oh, absolutely. And, Tony, in 1996, I actually worked for, I was in Mount Clemens at the time, one of the first charter schools, the Edison Project. And the owner of the Edison Project came in and said, I am not an educator, I'm a businessman. And from that point, I knew, well, this is all about making money. Now, the Edison Project eventually pretty much failed and had to leave. But the National Heritage, you know, they were like first in. But now the National Heritage Academies and many of these schools have figured out a way to use our public school tax dollars to ensure that they have the lowest paid teachers. That's part of the charter school part, is many of them pay no pensions. They pay minimal health care. They pay the absolute lowest prices lowest pay to their teachers, because they're still getting the same amount of money that the public schools get from the state, but where they make their profit is by ensuring that they have the lowest paid, brand new, fresh out of school teachers they can get their hands on. And as soon as they stick around for 4 or 5 years and start making a couple of dollars, or, God forbid, actually start agitating for better working conditions, they send them packing, because they have no benefits or no protections either. They're strictly at will employees who can be hired or fired at will, and
yeah,
they are.
And where's the incentive again? Let's talk practically about education. Where's the incentive to teach the children? Where's the incentive to be a quality educator? Where's the, listen, money talks. Let's just be honest about
Absolutely.
It. You know, and so where's the incentive? There is none. I mean, when you take away that incentive, what do you expect to have happen, John?
What I expect to have happen is, unfortunately, because the bill is passed right now, things are going to have to get worse, I believe, before they get better. People in their communities will start to see, and many of them actually are, in a sense, because these charter schools are not doing well. Many people are pulling their kids out of charter schools. Where I teach in Centerline, we've had many charter school kids come back because they realize, the parents realize, their kids aren't learning anything. The turnover is, in many instances, 100% a year. They're getting all new teachers, all new administrators. They're not working out, and they bring them back to the public schools, where our business is not to make money. Our business is to educate the kids and take care of the community, and we've been doing that for 200 years.
And John, how do you respond to this idea? I mean, let's talk for a minute. You know, why are charter schools, why do they not perform as well as traditional public schools? I mean, you know, we defend the teachers in charter schools, and we say, hey, you know, a good teacher is a good teacher. Is it that we expect less? Is the bar set lower in the charter school? Why do they not perform as well?
Well, when most of the money that the school gets goes to administration and to the profits of the owners, then that means that much less is going into the classroom. The Western Michigan University study in 2010 showed that 60% of the money that a school has in charter schools goes to administration, whereas over 60% in public schools goes to the classroom. So the teachers have... In public schools, we have, with that extra money, we have band, we have after-school extracurricular activities, better facilities, teachers who are not there to, get extra pay or extra money because they're on some merit plan.
John, I'm going to have to ask you to hold that thought. We got to get to the break. So stay with us. We'll come back right after the break and finish that thought and continue this discussion. John Duffy, my guest with MEA Local 1. I'm Tony Truppiano. This is First Shift. Stay with us.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special best of edition of First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back with more great clips and interviews in just a bit.
And joining us now is Cheryl Witten, the president of the Michigan Advisory Board for Blessings in a Backpack.
Blessings in a Backpack is a national organization. This teacher was concerned because she had kids in her school who came back from the weekend tired and hungry and by no means ready to learn. These children are on the free and reduced lunch program during school week, but no one thought, what happens to these children when they go home on Friday? So came up with a very simple idea, let's pack a backpack with food to take home with them on Friday, and they would return their backpack on Monday to be refilled.
All right, so if I contact blessingsinabackpackmi.org, how do I get involved?
There is a page to make a donation, and then we as the Michigan Board will determine where the greatest need is.
Blessingsinabackpackmi.org.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special best of edition of First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to the clips and interviews.
My guest, John Duffy, is president of MEA Local 1. They, of course, represent 16 school districts here in Southeast Michigan. Talking about the law recently signed into effect by Governor John Engler, which by the year, I think it's 2015, John, will totally blow the lid off of the number of charters that could be available, correct?
That's correct, and that gives them a couple of years to kind of ramp, like businessmen do, give us a couple of years to ramp up, get their business model going so they can create this chain of for-profit schools, which it's a classic business model. Use other people's money, the public school tax dollars that used to go to our local schools are now going to be diverted and funneled to for-profit companies. Like Mr. Heisinger runs an auto parts chain and a securities equities firm, and on the side he just happens to have a charter, one of the largest charter school operations too, and they're all making money. And with his charter schools, though, they're making money from our public school tax dollars that should be going to our local public schools.
Yeah, well, you know, let's, you know, John, it's interesting because as the argument goes, they, you know, those that are in favor of charter schools says, hey, this is really just about schools of choice. It's about giving parents an opportunity to choose what's best for their children. I don't have a problem with that philosophy. I just don't see in practice that that's working.
Absolutely. Not only, well, that's part of the fact that they've had charter schools in Michigan for over 20 years. So these studies that keep coming out saying they, in aggregate, 80% of them do worse than public schools. We have 20 years of data to prove that. And yet they go out right ahead and say, no, we're going to blow the lid off of this and let charter schools proliferate throughout the state. That bill is passed. What I'd say to all your listeners and anybody else is that we need to get an amendment in there that says, sure, charter schools, choice, absolutely, non-profit. You have non-profit in there, no profit, just like your public school. Your public school is a non-profit entity. You will see charters wither up, and not all of them, but most of them will pack up and go home because the entire point for most charter schools is to make money for their owners. And that's why they fought that tooth and nail, and they will continue to fight that. And people just need to ask their representative, hey, if you're all for charters, fine, but you have to make them nonprofit. And if it's a Republican legislator, before they hang up the phone on you, they'll probably just say, absolutely not. Not going to happen.
Yeah.
Not going to happen.
Well, you know, I was on Tuesday afternoon. I spoke at Roseville High School, the union meeting there, and John, we, you know, I asked the teachers there to get engaged in 2012. That really the fight that we have isn't about fighting charters at this point. It's about fighting legislators, and that's what we have to do, John. Walking into the 2012 year, which is just a week away, you know, we need to be mindful that in order to take our schools back, we need to get rid of some legislators is what we need to do.
Tony, same message. Many of our members voted for Republicans, and the Republican legislators that are in there right now. And yet I tell them at every one of our meetings, that's fine. Did they tell you in 2010 that the first thing they were going to do is try to pass 60 bills attacking public schools, taking away your pay, your benefits, and everything related to public schools and opening charters? Absolutely not. All they talked about was jobs, jobs, jobs. And out of 240 bills in the last year, you know how many of them were jobs bills? Zero. They had absolutely no intention of doing any of the things that they said they were going to do. Now that they have the full power, it's attacking public schools, emergency financial managers, selling off Pontiac right now as we speak. I saw that in the paper, trying to take over Detroit, as you were talking about earlier. Social issues, going with a partial birth abortion, and on and on and on it goes. And yet, none of this has anything to do with the fact that Michigan still has one of the highest unemployment rates in the country. And they're doing nothing except taking our tax dollars and giving them to businesses. And that's part of when you had this discussion with Roseville. We've had over $2 billion of our tax dollars go to businesses with no strings attached. Schools, part of these laws that they've passed, have to do what they call five best practices. They have to jump through a whole myriad of hoops where they have to make sure that their employees are paying 20% of their health care. They have to privatize. They have to do all sorts of things just to get back some of the money that the governor took from them. But the $2 billion that he's given to businesses and politically connected businesses, what do they have to do to get that tax break? Nothing. They don't have to build a factory. They don't have to hire anybody. They don't have to do a thing. They're getting the tax break gratis. And it's coming from our public school tax dollars. And it's not right. And people just need to start waking up to that and figuring out that what these guys said in 2010 is not what they're doing.
Well, then that really is the problem. You know, John, we only have a couple minutes left. And certainly I think it's incumbent upon us before we leave today to really place the focus of where our energy needs to be, where it's deserved. The Republicans have earned our ire. They've earned our attention, and we're certainly going to make sure that that we expend energy in that direction. If you're you've got an opportunity right now. You're talking to parents. You're talking to teachers. You're talking to hardworking men and women all over Southeast Michigan. What advice do you give them as we ramp up for 2012 and beyond?
Do you like your public schools where your kids are going to school? Most people do. And you need to call your representative and say, I'm calling to tell you I demand that my public school be properly funded, and I also demand that you stop beating up on the teachers and you stop beating up on the working people of the state of Michigan. And start, if you're going to start doing legislation, number one, make sure all publicly funded schools are nonprofit. Number two, start writing some jobs bills that put people back to work. And one of the things I also want to say, Tony, is, you know, besides being vilified and attacked all year, public school teachers still go out and do great things for their community. Local One, working with the Utica EA, with Liza Parkinson, their president, we just donated $7,300 to the Macomb Food Bank here yesterday, bought 52,000 pounds of food for our kids, for our community, because even though we've had our pay cut, our benefits cut, we're being attacked constantly, that's what we do. We go out, we raise money, we help people in our community, we help our kids, because it doesn't matter what the state legislature does to attack us. Our job is to educate the kids to the best of our ability, and that's what we do.
Well, I will say this, I've spoken to a lot of teachers' groups in the last 7 or 8 months, and it never ceases to amaze me that no matter how much they're attacked, and they've been attacked relentlessly. You just said 60 pieces of legislation over the last year. You know, who would have thought this would have? It has not changed the commitment teachers have to their students in any way, shape, or form. They still get up every day, very early, go to work, do what they need to do, work late into the night, correcting papers, doing what they need to do. It has not changed their commitment to students at all. And John, I think that says something about something good about the future of education here in the state of Michigan. John, I'm glad that we had a chance to connect again. Happy holidays to you, and let's do this again.
Thank you. Thanks, Tony. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. John Duffy again, president of MEA Local 1. Quick break here.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special Best Of edition of First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back with more great clips and interviews in just a bit.
This holiday, Chevy's giving more. Get more savings on your favorite 2012 Chevy vehicles like the fuel-efficient EPA-estimated 42 MPG Cruise Echo or Traverse that seats up to 8 passengers, not to mention the truck that gets things done, Silverado. Hurry in and get the best savings of the season before January 3rd.
Are your kids on the computer all day? Pulling the power cord can get them onto the playground. Creative moms can keep kids active and healthy. Get ideas at letsmove.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
When my family found out I was on drugs, they were devastated.
It was killing them, you know, it was killing them. It
tears your family up more than it does you.
You want to stop, you know, in your heart you need to stop.
My mom was just a nervous wreck. I could just see her getting older way too fast.
My oldest brother banned me from the house. You're a drug addict, I don't want you around my kids.
I just couldn't help it. I couldn't get a grip on it. I couldn't even stay clean to get my son back.
It doesn't matter if it's Monday at 10 in the morning or if it's Sunday at 2 in the morning. You got to go get drugs or money, one or the other.
You pray to God, please help me quit this, stop this.
My dad was frantic, and he looked at me and he said, we're not going to gamble with your life.
I wanted to have my family back, and that's when my mother found Narcanon.
If you or someone you love has a drug or alcohol problem, call Narcanon today at 1-800-468-6933 or visit us at www.stopaddiction.com.
Hey, it's Jeff from First Shift with Tony Truppiano, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. right here on 1310 WDTW.
Dearborn, Detroit.
Now, time for news from CNN.
CNN Radio, I'm Jim Ribble. Top story this hour, hope that the Arab League monitoring group in Syria could be an effective check on the government crackdown is fading, with more opposition and human rights groups complaining that government abuse is continuing, even with the monitoring group right there in the country. CNN's Mohammed Jamjoum tells us about one man who felt from the beginning this inspection trip was a sham.
We spoke earlier to a member of the Arab Doctors Association. He had been invited to go along with this mission, but he pulled out of it because he told us he disagreed with the mission's method. One thing he told us, he said that all I see now is the head of the mission barely announcing any information while dozens have died in the first 2 days of the mission.
The Republican presidential candidates are putting in long days and nights in Iowa with the caucuses there coming up next Tuesday. CNN's Bob Costantini joins us live and tells us about one event last night hosted by a rising contender. Bob?
Well, Jim, Ron Paul's appearance at the Iowa State Fairgrounds was a salute to veterans, and some veterans came out to support him. But Paul turned his libertarian views to spotlight a defense spending bill signed by President Obama last week with a controversial provision Mr. Obama originally opposed.
The military can arrest an American citizen without charges and being denied an attorney and held indefinitely, even in a foreign prison.
Paul is now polling second in the CNN Time ORC survey of expected caucus goers. He won a big local plum at the event, too, as a key state senator once backing Michelle Bachmann publicly turned his support to Paul. Jim?
1 year ago, somebody bought a lottery ticket at an Iowa gas station with a cash value of nearly $11 million, but that person has not claimed the prize, and time runs out to turn in the winning ticket as of this afternoon. Terry Rich of the Iowa Lottery says whoever has the ticket is cutting it awful close.
Most think that if someone does show up, it'll be in the last 2 hours on Thursday.
Just this week, someone forfeited a $77 million jackpot in Georgia when time ran out to collect the winnings. This is CNN Radio.
The year is quickly coming to a close. So now the time to prepare for the new one.
Hurry into Sears Auto Center this week to save big on all top tire brands. Plus, get an extra $70 via mail-in rebate on 4 qualifying Michelin tires. And get a Valvoline oil change for just $21.99 with coupon. And we'll throw in a $5 Sears coupon to help you tackle the rest of your holiday shopping list while you wait. Go to SearsAuto.com for more money-saving offers and coupons. That's real deals for real drivers. Sears Auto Center. Sale and rebate ends 1-3. Coupon good through 12/31. Exclusions apply. See store for details.
The holidays aren't over yet, but you're so over them. Keep the holiday cheer going at Dave & Buster's with our Eat & Play combo starting at just $15.99. So bring your family, friends, and uninvited house guests for the latest and greatest games like Fruit Ninja, House of the Dead 4, and Big Bass Wheel. Then keep the holidays going and check out our epic late night deals, because it's time to go from grinching to grinning and end the year right. Only at Dave & Buster's. Offer available all day Sunday through Thursday, Friday and Saturday until 5 p.m. Prices may vary by location. Limited menu. See store for details.
A closely watched bond sale in Italy has yielded generally positive results. Yields for longer-term bonds are falling, just as short-term yields have done, which means lower borrowing costs for that nation. That news is helping stock markets in Europe push modestly higher today. It's also helping prop up U.S. stock futures. Right now, S&P futures gaining 4 points, NASDAQ futures up 5, Dow futures up 30. More than a year and a half after the Gulf oil spill, several Texas-based BP engineers soon may face the case's first criminal charges. Wall Street Journal reports they could include making false statements in documents. The movie box office suffered this year as studios rolled out big-budget sequel after big-budget sequel, but comedies have ruled the home rental market. Redbox reports this year the Adam Sandler romantic comedy Just Go With It was the most rented film of the year, followed by No Strings Attached, Rango, The Dilemma, and Due Date, all movies meant to make you laugh. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Mom, I can't do my math homework. I just don't get it. I'm no good at math. I hate math.
I've always considered myself a good mother, but when it came to my son Billy's math, I was at a loss. It wasn't that he didn't try, but he kept falling further behind and losing confidence. Then a friend told me about Math Made Easy DVDs. You can order any subject from arithmetic to fractions, percents, algebra, even calculus. Concepts are simplified in an entertaining way, so students enjoy learning at their own pace, in the convenience of home. It's as easy as watching TV. Best of all, it's affordable for everyone. Listen, end the frustration. Call Math Made Easy. Call now for a 30-day risk-free trial. 866-568-MATH. Now that school is in full swing, it's important for your child to keep up with the fast-moving classroom pace. With Math Made Easy, your child will always be prepared and one step ahead. Call now, 866-568-MATH. That's 866-568-6284.
This is a special announcement from Lumber Liquidators.
We must reduce inventory before year's end, so we're making deals on every floor in every store. That's right. If it's in stock, it's on sale if you take it home before the year ends. Plus, get extended special financing on top-name laminate flooring from just 29 cents. Pre-finished solid domestic hardwood starting at just 99 cents. Pre-finished solid exotic hardwood from only 149. So hurry to Lumber Liquidators before the year ends, because if it's in stock, it's on sale.
I'm sure you're thinking, boy, I'd like to pay less for my car insurance, but switching seems like a lot of work. All the hassle and whatnot. Well, I'm here to tell you that is simply not the case. GEICO makes it so easy to switch and start saving money straight away, without getting buried in a ton of paperwork. You know, that actually happened to me once. Literally, I was buried under my income taxes for 6 days. Haunting, really.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com. GEICO, 15 minutes.
Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to First Shift. I'm Jeff Radford, and today I'm bringing you simply the best clips and most recent clips of First Shift with Tony Truffiano. Interviews, segments, thoughts, conversations that have sparked a lot of feedback. We thank you so much for listening and being part of the show, being part of our lives, and we hope you enjoy the show. From all of us to all of you, we hope you have a safe and happy holiday season. But now, on to the clip.
Joining us now from the Council on American Islamic Relations is Dawood Waleed. He is a leading expert on relationships between all peoples, not just those of Muslim faith. He is considered a consummate activist, certainly somebody that understands the plight of those of us that care about relationships that matter, that move society forward. And he joins us today, hopefully, to make some sense of this mess that has been perpetrated by, well, none other than Lowe's stores of all the crazy things, based on a show that's just telling the truth, all American Muslim. I want to thank you for joining us, Dawood. Appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you very much.
You know, at some level, there's a little bit of insanity that's involved. That we're even having this conversation suggests to me that somebody just doesn't get it.
Yeah, and what's really bizarre, and let me first start off saying, in terms of the bigoted blog Bare Naked Islam, and as well as the Florida Family Association, we get it that there's always going to be bigots in any society that human beings live in that are trying to marginalize minorities, just be hateful. So we get that, but what we don't get is a corporation such as Lowe's, which touts inclusion and diversity as part of their mantra, their talking points as a corporation, that they would just easily give in to a bunch of bigots and then basically try to give cover to the bigotry. I mean, they claim that the show is so controversial and needs to be discussed in the community and that their advertising shouldn't be behind it, but they signed a contract with TLC to advertise for all 8 episodes of the show for this season, and they knew exactly what they were getting into as far as the content of the show. And then once a few bigots called, it seemed like they value their bigoted callers or their bigoted customers more than civil, right-minded people like you and me.
Yeah, that's cowardice. I mean, you know, we can be nice about it, but there's no need to. And that's just at a basic level, that's just cowardice.
Yeah, it's complete cowardice. And, you know, if I can put it into the language of the Occupy movement, and this is what I've said publicly in terms of Lowe's, that Lowe's has basically sided with the 1%, which is the fringe extremists of our society, and they've basically turned their back on the 99%, which are the broader American society overwhelmingly, who wants to live in peace and harmony with their neighbors of people of various religions and ethnicities.
Well, you know, it seems to me at a time where I'll be honest with you, I have not seen All American Muslim because I get up at 2:30 in the morning. I've recorded it, just haven't watched it yet. I'll get to it, but that's not what this is about for me. This is not about watching this. I live in Dearborn Heights. I break bread with people in that community. I have no idea what the show portrays except for what I've read in the paper. And from what I've read in the paper, it's exactly what I've experienced on an everyday basis with Muslims, which are, they're just people that just happen to be living in Dearborn. And that's all it is. That's all it is. It's nothing more than that. So where's the big deal?
Well, the big deal, according to this organization and this other, this blog, Bare Naked Islam, is that they claim that the show shows it's propaganda. It only shows good, peaceful Muslims, but it doesn't show the real Muslims who they say are extremists, and which is kind of laughable. But the show is in fact depicting the everyday lives of Muslims in Dearborn, and that's what the bigots don't want, because the bigots know that if Muslims are shown on national TV as they are, that it will humanize our community and that people in the broader society will see that Muslims have concerns about public safety, about family life, getting married, about football and apple pie and everything else that Americans like of all different ethnicities and religions.
Well, and of course, you know, somebody had sent me an email earlier on in the show and said, you know, Tony, maybe you can ask Dawood Waleed a question for me. When those that say that, when those that criticize what's happening by saying that, you know, they're not showing the truth about Sharia law and that women are oppressed and that these are communities that are oppressive, that it does all of us a disservice, how do you respond to that? I don't really know how to answer that question.
Well, I want to see where this oppression is at in America. It's called All American Muslims. I mean, Suhaila Amin is a personal friend of mine. She's a clerk at a court. We have a Muslim female who wears a headscarf, Charlene Elder, who lives in Dearborn, who's a judge. We have Muslim females who are professors, who are doctors, We have Rashida Tlaib, who is a Muslim female in
the state legislature.
State rep. Yeah,
absolutely.
Who works on a lot of issues and who's been pushing back against Manny Maroon and the whole bridge issue. So, I mean, I don't understand what oppression of Sharia that's going on that they're talking about. I mean, I think that The Simpsons Show, if anyone saw it on Sunday, and there's a clip they can see on YouTube, The Simpsons Show cartoon actually made jest or made fun of this whole notion about Dearborn being under Sharia and oppressing people.
Well, you know, it's interesting because, and as we were saying earlier on in this show, it's been 10 years since September 11th, and I know a lot of this still comes from a fear of the unknown. People think of terrorists, they think of, and unfortunately, they think of Muslims, they think of Islam, and of course, they're thinking wrong. And here's the problem. If they would just shut their mouths, and I don't mean to be so rude, but if they just shut their mouths, open their eyes, watch this show, what they are going to find is that there's nothing wrong.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong, and then even in pop culture, I guess we have amnesia, but still one of the most famous American athletes living, and actually worldwide, is American hero, presidential freedom medal winner Muhammad Ali, one of the top MCs in the hip-hop industry right now is a Muslim, who's openly Muslim, Lupe Fiasco. I think that there's some sort of strange disconnect where we've been placed in a certain frame and people have amnesia, get disconnected from reality.
Well, unfortunately, I just feel like whatever progress we've made, we've not made progress. And that's the disconcerting part of this for me, Dawood, is that I really thought that at some level we were ready for this show, that we were ready for an honest dialogue, that we were ready to move on, and apparently we're not. And shame on Lowe's for placing the kind of light that they've placed on this issue. Now, they need to wear it. There have been some talk of a boycott. What do we know? As of last night, what do you know?
Well, there are people in the community are saying, just on a grassroots level, they're not going to shop at Lowe's. Across the country, there's been some actions planned already in Maryland and Florida where people plan on actual literal protests in Lowe's. We're not organizing any actual protests in front of stores, but if spontaneous ones come up from the community, we definitely will spread the word about it. But I'd like to also say something very briefly, that people, Americans, but especially in the progressive movement, we need to connect the dots in regards to this Muslim family organization, Pastor Terry Jones, people like State Rep Dave Ejima. It's the same people, many of them Tea Party acolytes, who are attacking Muslims and talking about the Sharia law stuff. They're against immigration reform, and they're supporters of Arizona-style immigration bills. I mean, these same type of people have an agenda. When they talk about taking our country back, they want to take our country back to the times when there was no collective bargaining, when there was no labor rights, when this country was not as inclusive, so that they can support their own little selfish interests of a few people who are basically part and supporters of the 1%. And I think we all need to look at this issue in a broader context, not just look at it as a Muslim-only issue or a Muslim-only problem.
And it's not. And I would suggest the people that you've just mentioned are the real anti-Americans. These are the people that want to subvert society. These are the people that want to suppress freedom and have no respect for the First Amendment. And if there's one thing I fight for, among all things I fight for, it's of course the First Amendment. By virtue of the First Amendment alone, it allows me to do what I do on a daily basis. And I take great offense when people try to eat away at that. And certainly the folks that you mentioned would just as soon see me silenced as anybody else. I understand that it's wrong. It's wrong at so many different levels, and I'm just so offended by this. I'm glad to hear you say that, you know, that there is a, you know, although that there's not a nationally organized a boycott of Lowe's, that there is support, of course, if people want to move in that direction. I know that my family will not be shopping at Lowe's. That is for damn certain. And I want to thank you for your time. Know that we are here for you if you should need us. Just know the show is here for you. Feel free to stay connected to us, and we'd be happy to have you back on in the future.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Dawood Waleed, again, with the Council on American-Islamic Relations. Just one of those stories, folks, we're going to keep our eye on. I want to thank him very much for being with us.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special best-of edition of First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back with more great clips and interviews in just a bit.
Recently on First Shift.
Just joining me now is Jerry Persaud, the Senior Vice President of Advancement at Gleaners Community Food Bank.
Probably the single biggest thing that's happening is happening at the federal level now, and that's looking at the food stamp program. In 2006, there were 26.5 million people participating in the food stamp program. Then you had the economic decrease, and in 2011, there were 44.2 million. That's a huge increase in the number of people seeking food help. And so if you cut that program by 10%, the jobs aren't there for people. What are they going to do? That will have a tremendous impact on what's going to happen at our local level.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano
on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Truppiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
So, what's up? Diggity dog.
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moodly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Truppiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Truppiano on Twitter.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Hi, Tony Truppiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special best of edition of First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to the clips and interviews.
My next guest is somebody that is spending a lot of time right now building coalitions for profoundly important reasons, and I'm going to get to him in just a moment. I want to remind you that a little later on in the hour, as we do every day, we'll be visiting with Occupy Detroit. They're with us 7:50 each and every morning. So you'll want to pay attention to that at 7:50. And then, of course, we've got a little time for open lines. But let me turn my attention now to my next guest. Although we have just had him on the show, between then and now, there was news. And I've talked about this at great length. Joining us now is Brandon Jessup. Brandon, of course, is the executive director of Michigan Forward, the group that is responsible, chiefly responsible, for fighting back Public Act 4, the emergency manager law that is anti-democratic and unconstitutional at every level. So let me first of all welcome my brother Brandon back to the show. Brandon, it's a pleasure to have you on, and Merry Christmas to you, my friend.
Hey, thanks a lot there, Tony. Merry Christmas to you too as well.
You know, I got to tell you, in the short period of time since I had you on, something egregious happened. The Republican legislature said, I don't know, how do I put this? They basically stuck out their middle finger at you, Brandon, and said, we don't care about the good work that you and thousands of others have done in supporting democracy. We're going to go around the system, and we are going to find a way to stifle your efforts. I can't imagine you're a very happy camper about that.
You know what? I'm not a happy camper. And shame on the Michigan Senate, the entire Michigan Senate, for even letting Senate Bill 865 to pass or to come out of committee yesterday, Tony. And just a quick second about 865. It extends the dictator powers that Governor Snyder already was granted under the emergency manager law. So now they put together this skeleton bill to give the governor power to exact a transition board, not to restore democracy, to restore our mayors and city councilmen and other elected officials that we voted into office, but to put in more of his cronies to further extend his control over communities that have fallen to emergency management. And to be honest, Michigan has got to wake up. This is not a Detroit issue. If they're coming for Detroit, they're going to go get West Bloomfield. They'll go get Novi. They'll go get Waterford. It doesn't matter. If they'll come get me, what would they do to you? That's the question of Michigan. And today we're asking all voters across the state, we're activating the hundreds of thousands of voters that have signed our petition to raise hell in the Michigan Senate and to let these folks know that this thing should not pass the Senate floor and don't try to pass it to the House.
Well, and, you know, the other thing they've done is they've attached an appropriations to it, Brandon, and I don't know that people understand the significance of what that means.
Yes, they want to make the Michigan's dictator law, the emergency manager law, Public Act 4, amendment-proof, and repeal proof. They want to, one, Senate Bill 865 changes the public act number from 4 to whichever number they're at now. So it would invalidate the hundreds of thousands of petitions that we've already had signed. That's their first plan. The second plan, as you said, Tony, is to make it amendment proof. So it's funny, now they want to violate the Haley Act by taxing citizens twice, not only taxing them to pay for the emergency manager that can make upwards to $400,000 a year, almost four times what any elected official what your local elected official would make, and also tax you again to hire up to seven more people on this advisory board for an indefinite amount of time. This advisory board that Senate Bill 865 allows the governor to put in place a board for an indefinite amount of time to replace your city council and your mayor to dictate how your public dollars will be spent, to dictate who gets a contract, the public contract, and who doesn't. So this is now privatizing our communities for long periods of time, farther past emergency management, never getting us out of debt, and keeping us silent in how our country and our communities operate. Yeah. For democracy today.
Absolutely, and that has to happen today. Let's, you know, I said that in my introduction about building coalitions. You've been exceptionally good about building coalitions. Talk a little bit about those coalitions and what you folks are doing collectively to fight this.
Well, we're activating all of our membership. The Michigan Educators Association, AFSCME Council 25, UAW. The vast amount of churches that we've found now joining on board, calling their congregations. This is not just a labor issue. And Tony, I'm glad you brought up the fact of how broad and our deep our coalition is. Over the last 10 days, I can't stop. My phone broke, shut down on me because of the amount of phone calls that I got from churches and community leaders across this state that want to sign a petition, get a petition, to repeal Public Act 4 and to stand up for democracy. So I really hope that the Michigan Senate and the Michigan House is prepared for what's coming to them, because if they thought April was bad, it would be very bad over the next few months around this legislation, especially if they attempt to continue with their process on Senate Bill 865.
All right. Well, what can we do as citizens first? I mean, do we just need to start picking up the phones and calling our senators and telling them enough's enough?
Absolutely. Call your senator. Tell him enough is enough. Call Senator Pavlov, who represents St. Clair and Lapeer counties. Tell him that do not disenfranchise the voice of 160-some-odd-thousand plus voters who signed to vote on Public Act 4. Don't disenfranchise the communities that are already under emergency management. And don't disenfranchise and don't attempt to circumvent democracy for the gain of greedy corporate CEOs. Also, we need to call our governor, tell the governor not to sign Senate Bill 865, not to touch Public Act 4 anymore. Email them, fax them, clog up the phone lines, clog up the email, and really, on top of that, continue to sign and gather petition signatures for Public Act 4 so we can put it on the ballot November 2012. We're pushing past our goal of 250,000 signers. We're going to get that. And the movement is building. Join the movement. Get involved. You can find information at michiganforward.org. You can call our office to volunteer at 866-306-5168. And today we're having a press conference with our congressional leaders and some of our state representatives and senators, not only against Senate Bill 865, but to call on our Michigan delegation to Congress to intervene and to sit down and talk with Governor Snyder about his actions against voter rights, against due process, and against democracy.
Well, there's no question, as you know, as a citizen of this great state, that you should be offended. You know, we talked about this on the show yesterday. We've talked about this issue a lot the last few days. And, you know, the one thing that is crystal clear is the polling shows the majority of people, and not the majority of Democrats, the majority of people don't want PA4, Brandon. They just don't want it.
Yes, yes, absolutely. 60% of voters across this state, in northern Michigan, that's the areas that aren't Detroit, not Saginaw, not Flint, they say that Public Act 4 goes too far, that it takes away their voting rights, and they believe in having self-determination in their local governments and local communities. What is Governor Snyder not getting? I know what he's not getting. He's not the soft nerd that you thought he was. He's a dictator that we know he is. Over 550,000 voters in this state know about the dictatorship and the attitude that Governor Snyder takes amongst communities that power this state, that push this state forward. So now, let's get rid of the whole nerd terminology and start calling Governor Snyder what he really is a big business dictator that we have got to get out of office.
Well, there's no question that we don't have the same, we don't share the same values of this governor, we don't share the same vision of this governor, and although we do have communities that are stressed financially, the answer is not to take away the democratic process and to force an agenda upon us that we cannot that is just beyond unpalatable. It seems to me, Brandon, and we'll close with this. It seems to me that this governor needs to be sent this message. And if the people of the state of Michigan, the people listening to us right now, do not understand how important this issue is, and they do not strike out today, they may not get a chance to ever strike out again.
Absolutely. These changes that Governor Snyder is making to voting rights, to the voice of the people, to democracy in the state of Michigan, these last generations, they don't just last over time, over 2 or 3 years, it's just 6 months, as some of these ultra-conservatives would like you to believe. Where's the Tea Party on this issue? They're silent. You know why? Because they support takeover.
Absolutely.
They support takeover. They support takeover. And that's a travesty that Michigan has now become a Mississippi.
Now, Brandon, you hang in there. You know that we're there for you. Thank you for the update. You just let us know when you need back on. You're back on. We got to take a quick break. Thank you, brother. Merry Christmas.
All right. Now, thank you. Merry Christmas to you. And let's bring democracy home this Christmas for the state of Michigan.
Absolutely. We'll take a break.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special best of edition of First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back with more great clips and interviews in just a bit.
And joining us now is Cheryl Witten, the president of the Michigan Advisory Board for Blessings in a Backpack.
Blessings in a Backpack is a national organization. This teacher was concerned because she had kids in her school who came back from the weekend tired and hungry and by no means ready to learn. These children are on the free and reduced lunch program during the school week, but no one thought, what happens to these children when they go home on Friday? So came up with the very simple idea, let's pack a backpack with food to take home with them on Friday, and they would return their backpack on Monday to be refilled.
All right, so if I contact blessingsinabackpackmi.org, how do I get involved?
There is a page to make a donation, and then we as the Michigan Board will determine where the greatest need is.
Blessingsinabackpackmi.org.
Great news, people. A hot spot of non-spotted ladybugs has been spotted in Amagansett, New York. This uplifting story is a rich organic mixture of state pride, nature's resilience, America's scientific pluck, teamwork, serendipity, and bug love. In today's hard times, we need this. Let's start with the bug. This ladybug is the classic Cochinellidae beetle with exactly 9 black spots on its red back. A benevolent and delightful creature, it's beloved by everyone from children to farmers. So beloved that it is the official insect of New York State. Sadly, and somewhat embarrassingly, however, this state official has bugged out of the state. The last recorded sighting of this ladybug species in New York was 29 years ago. Apparently a victim of competition from imported Asian and European ladybug species, as well as pesticides and the loss of habitat, only 90 of the native 9 spotteds have been seen in all of North America in the past decade. But since 2000, a team of diligent Cornell University entomologists and volunteers have kept up the search through Cornell's Lost Ladybug Project. The searchers persisted, even when New York's legislators tried in 2006 to abandon the bug that seemingly had abandoned the state. Luckily, though, legislative inertia killed that effort to replace the state insect, and the Ladybug Project kept faith and kept looking. Then, this summer, lo and behold, a volunteer spotted one sitting pretty as you please in a patch of sunflowers on an organic farm in Amagansett. About 20 more were subsequently found on the farm amidst rows of carrots, beans, and flowers, enough for the project to establish a reproducing colony, while also building confidence that more will be discovered. This is Jim Hightower saying, to keep up with this bit of good bug news, go to lostladybug.org. Hightower's commentary is brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown. From Wall Street to Washington, this monthly newsletter reveals who's doing what to whom and why. Check it out, hightowerlowdown.org.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special best of edition of First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to the clips and interviews.
I want to welcome you back. As we have been talking about from the very beginning of this show, there is a situation out in Garden City that we need your help with, and I'm going to get to my guest here in just a moment. I want you to be mindful that, these wonderful teachers out in Garden City have been working without a contract since August of this year. This is a story that deserves some telling, which is why I have the guest that I have today, and we're going to allow her to do that. What I ask of all of you is to pay particular attention to the details. The facts in this case matter. And I think that once you hear out what Julie has to say, you'll understand why this really picked my interest in the way it did. Joining us now is the president of the Garden City Education Association and a committed teacher, which is why she's on at this time and not in the 7 o'clock hour, because she wants to teach today. And she didn't want to take time away from the classroom to do that, because normally, folks, you know, I don't have guests this early, but happy to have her. Julie Naughton, thank you so much for being with us this morning.
Thank you, Tony. I really appreciate you taking up our cause.
Well, you know, it is our cause. I think anybody that cares about education, no matter where you live, no matter where your children go to school, or perhaps you don't have children or your grandchildren went to school, doesn't matter. This is our cause, Julie Naughton, and it's our cause because, you know, at a very real level, you know, your way of living as a teacher, your way of life as a teacher, I should say, is being threatened by, in my opinion, an administration and a superintendent that has lied and deceived themselves into a situation And now, as we're going to find out with the very first topic we're going to talk about, which is an insurance option that needs to be dealt with, they are threatening, again, people's livelihoods by making a non-decision, Julie, and we can't allow that to happen.
Correct. The school board needs to vote on a board resolution if we were to pay 20% of our health care, if we were supposed to have a 20% contribution. If, in fact, they take no action, it will default to a hard cap.
All right, for those that don't understand what a hard cap is, explain that or define that for us, Julie.
Well, the school district will be required to pay a limited amount for each of the insurance categories. For instance, for a family, the school district would only be able to pay $15,000 towards that person's coverage, when in fact that insurance costs well over $20,000, the employee would be responsible for the difference.
Without a choice is what I'm hearing you say.
Absolutely.
So this would actually be almost a tax on your income.
Absolutely. It would absolutely be, it's a salary reduction, bottom line.
All right, and so there is an option, right? You have something called an 80-20 program, which would be, it sounds to me, a much more affordable option for your members. Is that correct?
It is cheaper than the hard cap. As far as affordable, I wouldn't go that far.
Fair enough. Fair enough. That's fair enough. But you know, certainly it would be less expensive to your membership. That's safe to say.
Yes, it would be. It would be. It's still going to be a financial burden. We have administrators. Every other employee group will be paying 10% or less of their health care contributions, whereas the minimum that we would be paying would be 20%. And to me, that's just punitive.
Well, it is punitive, but, you know, I guess I have to ask the question, doesn't the legislature have something to do with what you pay? If I understand correctly, they are mandating a 20% participation.
They are. If you did not have a contract ratified by September 15th, of 2011, then when your plan year begins in 2012, that's when you would have to pay the increased amount, which in this case, it's going to be the hard cap if the school board takes no action.
All right. Now, my understanding, Julie, is that you have one more board meeting, which is on December 19th. That is correct?
We do.
All right.
Now, 7 p.m.
All right. Before we get to that, though, there's a town hall meeting tonight that Superintendent Michelle Klein is hosting at the Garden City Middle School. Correct?
Yes, there is.
All right. And we're asking people actually to show up to that tonight. But if they can't, we really need them to show up on Monday.
We do. We need people there to encourage our board members to actually vote on a resolution and to vote yes.
Now, look, ultimately, of course, that's what's really interesting to me. And I guess I'll let you stick to the facts, and I'll stick to the opinions. How's that? I really feel, Julie. And you don't even need to agree with me. I'm just saying I feel like the Garden City Education Association has been lied to repeatedly. I feel like especially knowing what I know, and we've not given out the whole story yet, and we will get to more of this, but knowing what I know, I know that's true. I know that they have been less than forthcoming with you. As far as the administrators and the superintendent, do they all have contracts as we speak?
Yes, they do.
And then is it my understanding, Julie, that they actually gave themselves raises, although they didn't call them raises, they in effect gave themselves an increase in their pay?
Well, their salary is set in their contract, and at the end of the year, they get a deferred payment.
Which is their way of calling a, that's what they're calling their raises. They're just calling it a deferred payment.
That's true.
Now, is it also true that they made this decision behind closed doors and in essence violated the Open Meetings Act?
Actually, that did happen. On September 14th, there were four board members out of seven present, and they came to the to a special board meeting to vote on three individual contracts. And when the board members, when the board members got to the meeting, some of them were questioning what they were even voting on. And then it was suggested that they go into a closed meeting, and they did that. And for individual contracts, that does violate the Open Meetings Act.
Now, does the date have any significance, September 14th?
Absolutely. The deadline for having a ratified contract was September 15th, so they did it in the 11th hour.
And they did it behind closed doors and, in essence, gave themselves raises and, of course, made sure that their insurance, their contribution would be at 10%, correct?
Correct.
All right. So they took good care of themselves. Everybody else in the building, by the way, everybody else in the buildings have contracts besides the teachers?
Yes, every employee group and every individual, that's what I'm understanding, that everyone else does have a contract.
All right. So we have two issues here, folks. And this is what I need you to understand. We have two issues. Most immediately, on December 19th, the school board will meet for the last time this year. And they need to vote on what they're going to do with regard to teachers' health insurance. And that vote, either way, is going to cost teachers a lot of money, but one is going to be really punitive. That would be the hard cap. Then the second issue is, Julie Naughton, you folks need a contract.
We do.
Are they not negotiating? I don't understand. You know, you've been without a contract since August, and I just don't understand it, what's going on.
Well, in January, we began negotiations. The school district was projecting a $3.2 million deficit by the end of June. We continued to negotiate, and that number kept going down. So we're trying to negotiate with accurate numbers. By June, it wasn't projected anymore. They were saying that their deficit was at $131,000.
So it went from $3.2 million to $131,000.
Correct, but that was soft numbers. That was soft numbers because the books weren't closed. So they were still projecting, they were still saying that we were in deficit. With that, this November, the actual date was November 11th, they called me into a meeting to inform me that, in fact, we had over a $3 million fund equity.
So you had a surplus of over $3 million.
Correct.
All right, so at some point, folks, let's do the math, that's a $6 million error. I don't know what to call it. But it's $6 million. If you take minus three plus three, there's $6 million there, Julie. And I got to ask you at some point, and to me, there, it sounds like incompetence is involved. But how do you not know that you have $3 million plus that you didn't know you had?
Tony, I can't answer that question.
All right, I want to ask you to just stay with us. We've got to take a quick break here. Julie Naughton is my guest. Folks, again, it should be clear what we need to do here, but when we get back, we'll be very specific about what we're asking you to do.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special Best Of edition of First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back with more great clips and interviews in just a bit.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining me now is Jerry Persaud, the Senior Vice President of Advancement at Gleaners Community Food Bank.
Probably the single biggest thing that's happening is happening at the federal level now, and that's looking at the food stamp program. In 2006, there were 26.5 million people participating in the food stamp program. Then you had the economic decrease, and in 2011, there were 44.2 million. That's a huge increase in the number of people seeking food help. And so if you cut that program by 10%, the jobs aren't there for people. What are they going to do? That will have a tremendous impact on what's going to happen at our local level.
First Shift with Tony Trippiano
on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trippiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
So, what's up, Diggity Doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trippiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trippiano on Twitter.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Hi, Tony Trippiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special best of edition of First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to the clips and interviews.
My guest, Julie Naughton, she is the president of the Garden City Education Association. If you are just joining us, these teachers, the very dedicated, wonderful teachers at Garden City, in the Garden City School District, have been working without a contract since September. Their contract expired in August. They have been showing up every day doing their job. There's no question that's true. Julie invited me out to their membership meeting on Monday, where I had a chance to meet and experience what was going on. They're very, you know, again, amazing, passionate group of people, you know, that spoke from a place of purpose. And ultimately, like everybody, Julie, the teachers want a contract so that they don't have that diversion. But it's not like, and they were all very clear on Monday night that their first priority is students. And I think at some level, and this is just my opinion, Julie, that the administration and the school board takes advantage of the fact that these teachers are so dedicated to the kids, that they're showing up and doing what they're supposed to do, even though they don't have a contract.
They are, each and every day. We're in the classroom, and Tony, I gotta tell you, we're in the classroom with more students than ever before. Actually, they increased our class sizes, and they did it. They did not negotiate that. It's a negotiable issue, and they decided to increase the class size because they couldn't balance the budget.
Okay, a budget that they end up having a surplus on, and listen, all these teachers are looking for is a fair and equitable contract. All right, so first things first. Let me make this clear. Tonight there's a town hall meeting. So if I get any of this wrong, Julie, you can correct me. But this is how I understand. Tonight there's a town hall meeting at Garden City Middle School. It's at 7 p.m., and the superintendent, whose name is Michelle Klein, will be there. And we're asking people to show up and ask questions. And we'll give you some suggested questions here in just a moment. So if you could show up and support the Garden City teachers in that way, that would be appreciated. That's issue number one. Did I get all that right, Julie?
You did. It's located at 1851 Radcliffe in Garden City.
Okay. And now, on Monday night, December 19th, this is critical. There is a school board meeting where they have one last opportunity to do the right thing and provide at least a little safer, more comfortable measure of insurance protection with regard to cost by voting for the 80-20 program as opposed to not voting and defaulting in the hard cap, which will be, as Julie said, both of them are punitive, but the hard cap would be very punitive. I got all that right, Julie?
Yes.
All right. Now, there is a couple other things, folks, you can do. If you go to our Facebook page at First Shift, you'll see that the Garden City Education Association has provided a link to the Garden City Public Schools. On that website, you're going to see on the left-hand side something that says Contact Us. I would like you folks that can't make it to a meeting to go to this website and send an email. You can do it right on their website. Send an email to them explaining why you're writing. And you let them know that you want them to vote for the 80-20 insurance program and you want these teachers to have a contract. Now, if enough of us do that, we're going to get their attention. They need to know that there is now outside interest in what's happening in their district in order to help them. And I assure you, if enough of us either show up or call, and of course you can call the numbers, phone numbers right there on the website, so you can do that as well. Just ask for Michelle Klein. They'll put your call through. They need to know that there's some outside pressure. They need to know that people are paying attention. Now, Julie has written a letter to the editor that's going to be in the local paper today. And then, of course, she's doing this interview now. And all of this is about, you know, garnering interest and support for the teachers. At the end of the day, that's what this is about, folks. That's all that this is about, is garnering support for the teachers. I got all that right. All right, Julie?
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Okay. So we just want, you know, we want people to understand that once and for all, you have a voice in how the Garden City teachers' future will look. And I don't care whether or not you're inside the district. It doesn't matter. They need to understand that they cannot be allowed to get away with violating the Open Meetings Act, with negotiating through the media, which, by the way, is illegal to do. Which is something Michelle Klein did. Michelle Klein is a monster, you guys. Now, this is, again, my opinion, not Julie's opinion. Julie has nothing to do with what I'm about to say here. After reading what I've read, after meeting these teachers, after doing my own fact-finding, which I did, Michelle Klein is a monster. She is the worst kind of administrator because she took care of herself first and neglected the most important component in the school, which is the teachers. You heard Julie Naughton say that every other employee group that has contracts has one. You saw that by violating the Open Meetings Act, they protected administrators in the building by giving them contracts that they said that they couldn't afford to do, and they certainly say they can't afford to do it for teachers, yet they did it for these administrators. This is the worst kind of public servant, because they're not serving the public. They're self-serving, period. Now, they've taken care of themselves, and we just cannot allow this to happen. And I don't care what your political leanings are. There's something seriously wrong when we are talking about the one most valued resource in education, the teacher, is ignored. And they're being ignored in Garden City. We can't let that happen. Julie, we only have a couple minutes left. Let me give you an opportunity to address the audience. Anything else that you want to add?
You know, our teachers, they want to be able to go to their classrooms, work with their students, They want to be able to support their own families. We're not asking for anything other than what we deserve. We know that these are bad economic times. Our proposals have been reasonable. The insurance, the hard cap, is something that will be a major financial burden, and especially on our single parents with one child. Now, the school district, Tony, let me clarify this. The school district is saying, oh, well, we're not sure how they're going to be covered. It doesn't matter. If it's a hard cap, these people, this particular group will be paying over $5,000 for insurance. If it's the 80-20, it's going to be right around $3,000. It's a $2,000 difference for a single parent with a child. So in and of that fact, we need all the help we can get. We need to really push this school board to vote yes on this 80-20.
All right, Julie, we've got a break for the top of the hour. I want to thank you. I know you need to get to the classroom. Julie will be back with us until we get this resolved, because we're going to be doing this together. They wanted to make it public. We'll make it public. That's fine. They don't get to hide. Julie, thank you so much. We'll be in touch, I promise.
Thank you, and our teachers thank your audience, too, and you for your support. And thanks for making us the word of the day.
Yeah, teachers, absolutely. Teachers are the word of the day. All right, we got to take a quick break here.
That'll do it for us for today. I hope you enjoyed the Best of First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Remember to add a like to our Facebook page, and also you can follow us on Twitter at Tony Trupiano. That's TRUPIANO. Remember to punch back in with us weekdays from 6 to 9 in the morning right here on 1310 WDTW. Have a great day, and as Tony would say, be well.
What happened, man? You used to be energetic and the ladies loved you. Now you're tired, moody, and out of shape. Don't be that guy. Try Ageless Male, a supplement shown to raise testosterone by 50% and maintain normal levels. Feel that energy again and a healthy sex drive. Call to try Ageless Male risk-free. 1-800-719-2640. 1-800-719-2640. 1-800-719-2640.
Drive through McDonald's and try the new dollar menu featuring meaty, melty McDouble with 100% beef and cheese, or the golden McChicken. McDonald's, I'm loving it.
The holidays aren't over yet, but you're so over them. Keep the holiday cheer going at Dave & Buster's with our Eat & Play combo starting at just $15.99. So bring your family, friends, and uninvited house guests for the latest and greatest games like Fruit Ninja, House of the Dead 4, and Big Bass Wheel. Then keep the holidays going and check out our epic late night deals, because it's time to go from grinching to grinning and end the year right, only at Dave and Buster's. Offer available all day Sunday through Thursday, Friday and Saturday until 5 p.m. Prices may vary by location. Limited menu. See store for details.
Hey, it's Tony from First Shift, weekdays from 6 to 9.